Both Sides Talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein is straight ahead. It's 12 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 37 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Heritage for the Blind. An explosion destroyed a house in Brighton last night, injuring two people. A man in the home was able to get himself out of the rubble, but a woman had to be dug out of the debris. Both were taken to the hospital, although their conditions were not immediately known. Neighbors say that a truck had recently been at the home to refill the propane tank. If you haven't gotten the flu, you probably know someone who has this year. The flu continues to hit Colorado hard, with more than 2,600 human cases confirmed in the state so far. Hospitals and doctors' offices are urging people to cover their mouths with masks and wash their hands often with antiseptic soaps. Doctors are hoping that these measures will help keep the flu from spreading while patients are in the waiting rooms. Flu shots are still being recommended. E-470 has gotten longer. The highway that's supposed to go around the Denver metro area became about 11 miles longer officially yesterday with the opening of the latest part. The Northwest Parkway hooks together with E-470 and I-25. At 157th Avenue. It'll make it easier to get to Denver International Airport and others, other areas from the northern parts of the metro area. The new stretch is a tollway. The cost is $1.75 for the new section, and now there's just one more section to be built, but that might not happen because Golden is trying to stop it. They say it would come too close to the neighborhoods there. The new tollway is free until December 7th. For most of us, a morning shower is a morning shower. For John Hessler, it was a milestone. The former CU quarterback, who suffered brain damage in a hit-and-run October 19th on I-76, was up and taking his first shower today since that mishap. His sister, Jolene Davis, was one of a quartet of loved ones who briefed reporters on the progress of her courageous brother.
John is breathing 100% on his own. All trachs have been removed. Yeah, I mean, he's breathing on his own, he's eating, and he's doing great, and he's enjoying everything that goes in his mouth, and he's swallowing well. I mean, it's all there.
Davis spoke to reporters at St. Luke's Hospital, where her brother is recovering. She says he suffered no major brain damage. He sings with songs on the radio, cracks one-liners, and is well aware that this is the week CU plays arch-rival Nebraska. Personnel at the U.S. headquarters in Baghdad have been urged to take cover as loud explosions echoed across the Iraqi capital. Fox News cameraman Tom Ewing was rolling tape while doing a live interview with an Army staff sergeant when the explosions occurred.
Well, it was a big one. Compared to the shelling that we took at the Sheraton Hotel last Friday morning, this is at least two or three-fold larger than that one, so it caught a lot of us by surprise. There was just a moment of doomed silence and waiting for instruction from the military, and then off we went. It was just that quick.
The staff sergeant immediately took his microphone and earpiece off and headed for the basement. Nearby residents say at least two rockets landed in the vicinity. One road now has a crater in it. The facility has come under mortar attack several times this month. The U.S. Senate has approved landmark legislation to overhaul Medicare. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist called it an extraordinary day for 40 million seniors.
At the same time, it preserves traditional Medicare. It strengthens and improves traditional Medicare, but it preserves traditional Medicare for those who wish to choose it.
However, Senate Democratic Leader Tom Daschle said the Medicare overhaul is a huge handout to powerful special interests in the drug and insurance industries.
Even though our country is faced with deficits unlike we have ever known, this is lousy legislation that we may spend the rest of our careers repairing the flaws of this disappointing bill.
The bill adds a prescription drug element to the federal entitlement program. The nearly $400 billion 10-year plan also creates incentives for private health plans to compete with Medicare coverage. The Senate vote was 54-44. President Bush is anxious to sign the measure, which was approved by the House over the weekend. The nation's economy was red hot during the past quarter. A newly released government report shows the gross domestic product rose to its highest level in nearly 20 years, shooting up at an 8.2% annual rate in the third quarter. In sports, the Denver Nuggets take on the Phoenix Suns tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Nuggets are 7-6, while the Suns are even at 6-6. Colorado Avalanche lost to the Nashville Predators 3-2 last night. Next up for the Avs, a trip to Calgary on Thanksgiving to play the Flames. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1 1-800, the number 2, donate, or visit taxdeduction.com. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
Hi, I'm Enid Goldstein. Get up close and personal with the Colorado Symphony in the only concert hall in America where the music literally becomes the center of attraction. The CSO is offering KNRC listeners 20% off tickets in the Parquet and Mezzanine 1 sections of Betcher Concert Hall for all Masterworks and Super Pops performances. These seats put you practically in the middle of the orchestra. You can watch the conductor's every move and hear the majesty and force of the music build before you.
Celebrate Thanksgiving with more drumsticks. Join CSO master percussionists and friends this Sunday afternoon for Drums of the World, an eclectic performance of hundreds of percussion instruments. The perfect family outing for Thanksgiving. Tickets start at just $12 for adults, $6 for children. Tickets available at all King Supers, Tickets West outlets, and online at coloradosymphony.org.
And to get up close and personal with the CSO, call 303-893-4100. That's 303-893-4100.
KNRC News Time is 12:06. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Owen Sausage, and really a pretty good drive just finishing up our last accident at Colorado and Evans. Everything else looking good. We do have a little bit of construction on Federal between 27th and 47th. Make the holidays even more special by treating your family to Owen's Sausage. Now your local Albertsons has Owen's Roll Sausage and new Owen's Express. 2 for $5. Owen's, from our family to yours. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Winds have been picking up today, but it still looks good weather-wise. Partly cloudy with a high near 40. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 19. And again, a breezy day on Wednesday. A lot of folks travel. Looks good for that. Partly sunny, 38. Thanksgiving Day will become mostly sunny with a high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 39 degrees. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, barely. I don't even want to tell you how the day has started out. But I want to let you know that we're going to have to tie up everything that we can with each other today because I'm going to be off. Starting tomorrow, Arnie Grossman's going to be filling in for me. And if you don't know who Arnie is, I think maybe he'll be around a little bit later and we'll introduce him to you. But he has served on the staffs of a lot of political people, Governor Lamb and Pat Schroeder, and was involved in the Aries of Veris campaign and so on. So he's pretty well connected, and you may know his son is State Senator Dan Grossman. So Arnie's going to be filling in for me tomorrow. On Thursday, we're going to be doing Best Ofs, and we'll be reprising three of our wonderful interviews. It's Deepak Chopra, Judy Collins, Annie Garrels from NPR, who has been in Baghdad. She was there when the invasion began. A lot of her friends were frightened that she might not make it out alive. So these were some of our recent interviews, and a lot of our good interviews, by the way, you can access on the website. And you can do that, www.knrcradio.com. And if you're downtown or other places where our signal is not all that strong, because with an AM signal, you've got all these high-rises and metal and stuff that get in the way of the transmission of AM radio. So if that's the case and you are unable to bring us in on the radio, or you can't because you're supposed to look like you're working, what you can do is you can access the website at www.knrcradio.com. So with that said, a couple of things. First of all, I'm going to talk a little bit about Thanksgiving in a minute, but before I do that, there's a lot to get started with. There's a lot of loose ends that we want to tie up. People are getting arrested. There's celebrity gossip we have to deal with. And also, I want to talk about Thanksgiving. I've written about Thanksgiving, and I'm trying, and I couldn't find it, what it really takes to get a turkey going. I don't mean a turkey in your oven going. I mean how to breed a turkey. What has happened is they're so overbred, and they're so, you know, they can't stand up anymore because they're bred to have these huge Dolly Parton-like breasts. And they, and as a result, they can't even, they have to be artificially inseminated. They have people who are like turkey jerkers to do this. You don't want to know. It's a bad picture. I knew somebody in the Bay Area who was a vegetarian, and every Thanksgiving, she would serve tofu in the shape of a turkey, in the shape of the country of Turkey. Actually, I think that's how it went. That was her turkey. Anyway, let's get going. First of all, singer Glenn Campbell. Do you remember him? He was, you know, a little bit of another generation. By the time I get to Phoenix, da 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 da. Well, guess what? He just got busted in Phoenix, big time. Country singer Glenn Campbell was arrested on suspicion of extremely drunk driving and hit and run. Well, I guess there's drunk driving and then there's extremely drunk driving. And he was, they hauled him in, and you should see this pic, his mugshot. Oh, wow. This is a lot of miles of hard country road. So that's it. Glenn Campbell, not a good sign for him. But isn't it funny that his hit song was kind of prescient? By the time he got to Phoenix, he got busted, is the story there. Michael Jackson, a little bit of an update on Michael Jackson. First of all, attorneys are saying that Jackson's going to have a hard time proving that he's just going to have, he's in a position where the law sort of believes that kids don't lie. So he's going to have a hard time defending himself. And more information about the kid who has made the allegations of child molestation against Michael Jackson. The kid at the center of the Michael Jackson sex case allegedly tried to steal clothes from a California store on orders from his father when he was just 8, according to court records. The shoplifting turned violent when security guards grabbed the boy and his mother fought them. The court papers said they were arrested and charged with burglary. A police report on the 1998 incident said security guards caught up with the boy in the parking lot where they wound up fighting with the boy and his parents. The mom was handcuffed. The troubled family then sued JCPenney stores in West Covina, about 30 miles east of L.A., alleging that they were severely beaten and falsely arrested. In the suit, the family claimed the boy suffered, quote, a sprained arm, nightmares, and emotional distress. You know how much they got from that one? $200,000. The suit also claimed that the younger son, who was 7 at the time, was bruised on the forehead, causing headaches and emotional distress. As part of the settlement, charges against the family were dropped. The family collected $200,000, but the couple, the mom and dad, later broke up because they were bickering over the money. Other police reports involving the family allege that the father once kept his daughter, now 15, a prisoner in the car for 2.5 hours and threatened to, quote, kill your mom and your whole family, end quote. The teen told cops the incident happened outside her school in 2001. In a bizarre statement, after the mother filed assault charges against the father, she assured police that Michael Jackson, local weatherman Fritz Coleman, and basketball star Kobe Bryant, quote, would assist her with this incident. So that's the family of the, that is the family of the, boy who's bringing sexual molestation charges against Michael Jackson, undoubtedly being leaked by the Michael Jackson side. There's a story, today that tells us that the United Steelworkers of America is calling for a congressional investigation into a massive police state, the union said, was created to intimidate union members and others critical of the proposed free trade area of the Americas, FTAA, and limit their rights during the FTAA meetings in Miami last week. The United Steelworkers of America condemns the use of federal Iraq reconstruction funds to subsidize homeland repression at FTAA meetings. Last week, they said, the fundamental rights of thousands of Americans were blatantly violated, sometimes violently, by the police, Miami police, who systematically repress our constitutional right to free assembly with massive force, riot gear, and armament. So countless instances they're citing of humiliating repression. And lots of what they're alleging to be violence. And with us online is Tom Messnick. Tom is a student at CU Denver, and he also writes for The Advocate. And he was down there, and we broadcast a couple of his reports. So, Tom, what do you think about what the United Steelworkers of America is doing? Tom?
That never even made it to the rally. That got turned away by the police, and I don't really, I use that term lightly.
Hear the beginning of what you said. What'd you say?
30 busloads of union supporters who had driven from all over the country to come to this huge rally were turned away by roadblocks by the police all over the city.
Well, so also, I think, when the cameras stopped rolling, weren't a lot of people kind of beaten up by the cops? What did you see?
Oh, yeah. Well, once the, quote, legitimate rally that had a permit ended, the police got really brutal, and they started using concussion grenades and rubber bullets at, like, point-blank range. As I said, my editor for The Advocate got hit right in the back with a rubber bullet, and they can be lethal. I mean, in Israel, there are, you know, many deaths of Palestinians from these same weapons. And also, as we were going into the rally, we saw, like, a 74-year-old union supporter, this old woman, got pulled over a railing, thrown to the ground, and a gun pointed at her head.
Who was doing this? The Miami police?
The riot police.
Why? What was she? How was a 74-year-old woman threatening them?
Well, she was just walking past the file line of riot police and got too close, and before she knew it, she was on the ground. And she was a senior citizen.
Okay. Bottom line, how did you leave things?
I believe that it made it onto the news. The greatest defense that the FTAA supporters have going for them is that nobody knows what it's about, that it'll go under the wire and not be detected. But protests like this, they bring it out in the open, and they...
What the steel workers are alleging is that Homeland Security funds were used, I guess, to pay for all the
That's not a secret.
Riot information.
$8.5 million dollars of the money that was earmarked to go to Iraq was culled off and sent down to Miami to provide security. I mean, and that's not even a secret.
What was the rationale that somehow this is terroristic to free assembly to protest something like this was a terrorist act?
Yeah, Timoney in the Miami Herald was constantly using the terms terrorists. Terrorists are coming to Miami.
Well, Timoney is the police commissioner in Miami. He used to be in Philadelphia, and before that he was in New York. Okay, Tom, thanks for this eyewitness account. And how was everything left? You guys sprung each other from the pokey, and then what happened?
Well, then there was a jail solidarity rally outside of the jail cell where many of our people were being held. And that the riot police totally surrounded the 100 or so people who were outside the prison protesting people being held and not being told where they were. There was all kinds of shenanigans.
Okay, so then you finally left Miami?
I'm sorry?
You finally left Miami?
Yeah.
With all of your people intact?
They're trickling in, but like some left right away. I think, like I said, a couple of the union organizers got arrested at that last rally. AFL-CIO folks, so I imagine they're just getting into town today.
When are you going to be writing about it?
I'll be writing about it.
When are you going to be writing about it?
I'm sorry?
When will you be writing about it?
Next week's issue.
Okay, get me a copy of it, and we'll look at it when I get to see all the juicier details. Tom Messnick, thank you so much, and thanks for going down there, and thanks for the eyewitness accounts.
All right, thanks.
We appreciate it. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC, and this just in, Christmas alert. The Supreme Court has ruled there cannot be a nativity scene in Washington, D.C. this Christmas. This is not for any religious constitutional reason. They simply have not been able to find three wise men and a virgin in the nation's capital. There was, however, no problem finding enough asses to fill the stable. I noticed today in the Denver Post or the Rocky Mountain News, actually, that the flu bug keeps breaking records. Colorado is among the states with the most cases. Does this tell you that maybe that flu vaccine doesn't got the right stuff in it to prevent you from getting the flu? And all the doctors are saying, oh, yeah, it's good. Get your flu shot. Meanwhile, the hospitals are filled with the walking wounded. Everybody's coming down with the flu. They're dropping like flies. And I'm thinking, you know what? I don't think they got the vaccine right. A couple other things. Colorado Springs, we've been talking a lot about gay marriage. Colorado Springs, the home of every practically conservative organization in the universe, is extending benefits to the unmarried parents, adult children, heterosexual and homosexual partners of Colorado Springs city workers could get taxpayer-funded health benefits as soon as next year. So these are domestic partnership benefits. City council members voted unofficially to extend benefits to one person per household other than the spouse or child. The employee must pay 100% of costs. Council members are expected to officially approve the move at the council's meeting. The votes could make Colorado Springs one of the first cities in the country to offer coverage to such a variety of live-in relations, although some corporations already do. It brings back, in a new form, a policy that became a key issue in April's municipal election, same-sex benefits, although council members tried to downplay that aspect of the proposal. I think that's really a good thing, and I think it's really an enlightened thing. So this is Colorado Springs, a place that you wouldn't expect would be extending amount to really domestic partner benefits to unmarried partners. I'm glad they're doing it. They're considered a very they're home to a whole array of extremely conservative organizations. 303-382-1150 who are probably apoplectic at this very moment. Bob calling from Arvada. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, I was just following your story about the protest down in Miami.
Yes.
And I just got an email from a friend of mine that's just on her way back from there. She was down protesting with a group of peace and justice activists in the Arvada area, actually. And she was down both there and at the School of the Americas to protest down there as well. And she said that there was indeed violence against some of these peaceful protesters with the rubber bullets and with people being herded up. And what she said right now is that people are trying to take up collections for the bail in order to get some of these protesters out of jail, anywhere from $100 to $500 in order to get these people out of jail.
I think everybody should be calling, and I should have said this to Tom Messnick, but maybe he's listening. Everybody ought to be calling the ACLU and get some kind of legal relief here. There ought to be lawsuits against the Miami police. I'm assuming that there's some solid ground here, that if the Miami police are preventing free assembly, then we ought to see some legal ramifications, and this is what the ACLU is all about.
Absolutely. I think what's scary is that between this and some of the stories you were hearing about how the Homeland Security monies may be used against American citizens just for the right to assembly, which is the first right in our Bill of Rights, then, you know, that's got to be scary about what is our country coming to?
Well, in every single way. I'm looking at Jim Spencer's column today in the Post, and I'm looking at Mike Litwin's column today in the Rocky Mountain News. President Bush was at Fort Carson yesterday, and in order for reporters to get to even be there, they could not talk to any soldiers at all, not before President Bush's speech, not during, and not after. They were simply strong-armed into not being able to report the whole story. And I think that it's a very, somebody described it as Nixonian. This is a very, this is a tactic of people who are among the angry, who want to batten down, tamp down all of our freedoms, who don't want to be transparent, who don't want a free exchange of ideas, who simply want to manipulate the dialogue. And it isn't even dialogue. It just becomes propaganda.
Well, the other scary thing is that anybody that does want to have anything to say about this is not concerned that they're watching you and that they're going to be taking down your name and number.
Well, let me tell you, the FBI is going to be conducting surveillance and already is on protesters, and I have information about that, and I'm going to be sharing it as we go along. Thanks, Bob, for calling. I appreciate it. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday and, for me, Thanksgiving Getaway edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
We don't have to call San Antonio or Atlanta to get permission like some Denver stations do. Local talk, both sides, AM 1150 KNRC.
It's almost Thanksgiving.
Woo!
And Ellen's talking turkey. Wednesday, stuff yourself on Ellen's first Thanksgiving special, complete with special guest Bette Midler and holiday cooking tips.
Never order turkey medium rare.
Plus, the happy couple, Bob the Bachelor and Estella.
The most dramatic rose ceremony ever.
And next, Ellen, Robert Downey Jr. and a live musical performance by Mary J. Blige on The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show, today at 3 on 9 News.
Hey, Kirk, what are you doing?
Kim, I'm writing a jingle about 4 o'clock at 9 News, airing right after Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, listen. Today, after Ellen, we are telling all the news you need to know, and whether it's snowing or not. Watch 9 News, 4 o'clock, because we're telling you the news.
Kirk,
Ellen. What?
I like it, but before the big finish, you need the announcer to say, watch the Ellen DeGeneres Show at 3, followed by 9 News at 4.
After Ellen. This will never make it on the air.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Creaky joints, sore muscles. For over 40 million Americans, the battle with these ailments is daily and debilitating. This Saturday at 6:30 a.m., tune in to find out a new way to relieve pain and start rebuilding painful joints, all naturally. We'll be talking with Dr. Janet Macaro, the developer of glucosamine cream, an all-natural formula that stops pain. Learn more about this natural wonder by tuning in Saturday at 6:30 a.m. Or to find out about glucosamine cream right now, call 800-604-6284. Trained representatives will answer your questions. Glucosamine cream can help battle those creaky joints and sore muscles. Call 800-604-6284 to find out more. Tune in Saturday at 6:30 a.m. or call 800-604-6284 to find out more about glucosamine cream. That number again is 800-604-6284.
How would you like to spend your next vacation with Brad Paisley, Bill Anderson, Little Jimmy Dickens, and Ricky Skaggs? Come along with the Grand Ole Opry. The Opry Cruise is sailing to Grand Cayman, Cozumel, and other destinations in the Caribbean this January, and you can be aboard. Courtesy of Banquet Home Style Banks. Just visit www.countrystars.com for more information. That's www.countrystars.com. Brought to you by America's favorite meal, Banquet Home Style Banks.
You're listening to the sound an angel makes. An angel visiting the Salvation Army's website at salvationarmyusa.org. It's an easy way to buy a toy for a needy child or set up your own red kettle where friends can help those in need this holiday season. Make a donation to our new online Red Kettle and Angel Giving Tree programs at SalvationArmyUSA.org.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Where's your mic high, sir?
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Hi, I'm Dominic Brascia.
And I'm Bill Thorpe.
Join us weeknights from 6 to 9 here on AM 1150 KNRC.
Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1226 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and I'll be out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday back with you on Monday. So I'm looking for, I'm going to a Thanksgiving dinner that I'm really looking forward to in Sedalia, and it's supposed to be on a ranch, and it's supposed to be like a Norman Rockwell kind of a Thanksgiving dinner. And I would have brought something anyway, okay? But as we know, and I don't believe our hostess, our poor hostess knows that this is the case here. I'm not much of a cook. And so I might have brought wine, or maybe I would have brought the one of the three dishes that I know how to make. But instead, I was assigned a dish to make. The dish I was assigned, and do not tell her, is sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top. I've never made that dish in my whole life. And marshmallows on top, it seems a little on the, how do I say this, low-rent side. But we're not telling the hostess, and this is my assignment. Now, the person who gave me my assignment said I could substitute some other vegetables, but I have been assiduously collecting every single recipe I can that's sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top. And they always say, you know, this is always the advice to anybody. If you're going to have people in and you're going to entertain at home, never, never try out a recipe for the first time on your guests. Well, I guess we have no choice, but here's the truth. I think maybe I'm going to scout out and see if Marsix or someplace else, just in case mine doesn't turn out. We'll have a backup. I'm going to see if they sell sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top. I know it's a big favorite, but I think that the marshmallows are not going to add too much to it. It sounds a little bit like that, either tuna noodle casserole or the recipe that's on the Campbell's soup can with the French fried onion rings and the mushroom, Campbell's mushroom soup. And it's this casserole that a lot of people grew up on. But if you come to it as an adult and have a reasonably developed palate, although mine's so illiterate, it moves its lips when it's reading a menu, you're going to gag on that stuff. So I don't know. Well, we'll see what happens. I'll report back. We're talking about more serious things, actually, if you can imagine that. We're talking about politics, and we're talking about the fact that this is an administration that is manipulating the data, and they're doing this in a variety of ways. They are manipulating what comes out. They have all these, well, when President Bush, as we knew when he flew on the Abraham Lincoln, carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, doing the Top Gun number, they had a big sign saying mission accomplished. When he was just in the United Kingdom and he was speaking, they had a big sign with undulating, I guess, UK, UK, United Kingdom, United Kingdom, so people would know exactly where he was, where he was when he was speaking. I mean, you have all of that going on, and then you have silencing the troops and silencing the media. And if you in any way are critical of the president, they try and Dixie trick you, right? Okay, so here's Paul Krugman and his column today, and he's in the New York Times, of course. He's an economist. This column today is headed The Uncivil War. He's saying that there's no nice way to explain how the administration uses crooked numbers to sell its tax cuts or how its arrogance and gullibility led to the current mess in Iraq. He says the same people who denounce liberal incivility continue to impugn the motives of their opponents. Remember how Republicans, do you remember how both Republicans and conservatives dissed Bill Clinton daily? Daily. If there were no Bill Clinton, I'm not so sure there'd be a Rush Limbaugh. I mean, Rush Limbaugh should be writing thank you notes to Bill Clinton, because without pounding on him every day for any little thing, any peccadillo and even the big things, this is what the conservatives, this was red meat to the conservatives. But if you happen to be a liberal or a progressive and you happen to disagree, they're going to come down really hard on you. They're going to call you rude. So listen to this. When Ann Coulter expressed regret that Timothy McVeigh didn't blow up the New York Times. Do you think a liberal could have gotten away with saying that? When Ann Coulter expressed regret that Timothy McVeigh did not blow up the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal lapses off as tongue-in-cheek agitprop. But when Al Franken writes about lies and the lying liars in a funny but carefully researched book, he is degrading, he's talked about as degrading the discourse. And what this administration is doing, besides keeping a tight lid on any information, not allowing reporters real access, they demonize their opponents. So when they're talking about civility, who are they to talk? I mean, they were popping Bill Clinton every single chance they could get. Dissing him made them feel like they were human beings every morning. All this fuss about civility, Krugman writes, is an attempt to bully critics into unilaterally disarming, into being demure and respectful of the president, even while his campaign chairman declares that the 2004 election will be a choice between victory in Iraq and insecurity in America. And even aside from the double standard, how important is civility? I'm all for good manners, Krugman writes, but this isn't a dinner party. The opposing sides in our national debate are far apart on fundamental issues, from fiscal and environmental policies to national security and civil liberties. It is the duty of pundits and politicians to make those differences clear, not to play them down for fear that someone will be offended, or even worse, that their careers will be ruined. And full page ad in today's New York Times, here is Al Gore, arisen from the presumably dead or among the nearly comatose. This is an ad sponsored by MoveOn.org, and he is saying, this is a quote, "It makes no more sense to attack civil liberties to get at terrorists than to evade Iraq to get Osama bin Laden." Well, here, we have been saying this for a long time on this program. I was the loneliest voice in the world in the run-up to the war. Everybody dissed me. Everybody laughed at me. I couldn't have been more marginalized. I mean, you all came down really hard on me until you began to see what I was trying to say. I can't tell you, I wish I were prescient on all issues, but on some of them, you can just see it. I don't think you have to be particularly intuitive to see it. It's just there if you would really read the signs. And here's Al Gore finally saying something. His direct quote, "It makes no more sense to attack civil liberties to get at terrorists, our civil liberties, than to invade Iraq to get Osama bin Laden." Here, Al, where have you been? Joe DiMaggio, 303-382-1150. Michi, calling from Denver. Hi, Michi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, Enid, I'm really enjoying your show.
Thank you.
I really want to say, I've want to say something about the sweet potato pie, but I also want to make a comment before you cut me off. But sweet potato pies, they are my favorite. And, girl, if you mess it up, you could never invite me back to dinner.
I'm going to tell you right now that the chances of me messing it up are much greater than the chance. But it isn't a pie. It's just the sweet potatoes with mom. It's not a pie, so I don't have to deal with the pastry part of it. I got to do marshmallows, which I think are a little on the, you know, Campbell, Betty Crocker side, but who am I to say?
Secret.
What?
One of the worst things about a sweet potato pie that can ever happen, whether you're new at it or not, is when you make a sweet potato pie and it's not sweet. That's one of the worstest tastes you can ever have.
So what do you got to get? You got to get sweet potatoes.
Well, you know, my mom, she always used brown sugar, and, you know, and then she used to put coconuts in it, all type of different stuff. She made several different sweet potato pies. My mom did. But, okay. Man, I'm telling you, but my sister, she makes almost the worst. So, I mean, I just hope that you get it right. But I want to get to the positive.
Well, if I don't get it right, I'm going over to somewhere where they sell this stuff, and I'm going to buy some backup.
Hey, that's what you do, girl.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about this whole deal about politics and all that. Now, I'm not saying you're going to agree with me on what I'm about to say, but you remember the concept that people used to have, you know, when they deal with criminals in society, they have good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
You know, we all know about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to just expand that reality.
You got to do it fast, though, because we got to take a news break. Tell me quickly.
Okay, in this so-called democracy, we have this good democracy, bad democracy, and the people of color are always the victims in between.
Wait a minute. I'm not quite getting what you're saying. In other words, are you saying that there's such a thing as good democracy, bad democracy?
Right. See, this is the vision of white democracy, is to have good democracy and bad democracy, and the victims are those who are colors that fall in between.
Okay, what you're saying is triggering a thought in me, which is democracy is messy, and maybe there's not a good democracy and a bad democracy.
You can't have it not be messy.
That's
how we get it. I mean, we get it back and forth. They do one good thing, they set it back the next 4 years. It's back and forth, back and forth. But at the same time, the white culture always thrives.
Let's throw that out there, because I don't think I agree with you, Michi, but I thank you for bringing it up. I'm not so sure that that's the case, because Black America is doing, according to Henry Louis Gates, chairman of African American Studies at Harvard, they are doing better than they have ever done in this country. The question, I guess, is it well enough? I don't know. There's a vibrant and thriving middle class. We could discuss that. 303-382-1150. As we continue, I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 12:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 42 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by the 17 John Elway Showrooms. Alexander Adams was found guilty of murder yesterday in the shooting of his girlfriend. He also received a guilty verdict for misdemeanor child abuse because he shot 22-year-old Naisha Brown in front of her daughter. Police continue looking for the suspect in the shooting of a security guard at King Supers at 13th and Cremaria this weekend. The suspect tried to rob the store and pointed a gun at the guard who tried to grab it. The suspect ran off after firing multiple times at the guard who was hit by a bullet. The suspect is described as a black man about 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs about 160 pounds. DIA officials are saying there could be a record number of travelers going through the airport this holiday week. They're estimating close to 706,000 passengers traveling through the airport, which would make it the busiest Thanksgiving travel week at DIA ever. In sports, the Denver Nuggets are in action tonight at the Pepsi Center against the Phoenix Suns. Do you want out of high car payments? Then the John Elway Showrooms want to swap cars with you. You could end up making lower payments than you have now. Swap cars and let John Elway take your old car and lower your monthly payments. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 12:38.
Wow, I can't believe it. 50 years. Hi, this is Keith Lair with my sister Linda asking you to come see Lair Fireplace and Patio for all your fireplace needs and help us celebrate our 50th year in business.
Lair's is truly a family business. With our brother Ken at our Arvada store at 81st and Sheridan, I'm at our Littleton store on South Broadway, just north of Arapahoe Road, and Keith is at our original store in Denver at Holly and Evans.
When our father, Joe Lair, started in 1954, he had a very simple philosophy: sell quality products and treat your customers fairly. You know what? It's worked for 50 years.
That's why we carry quality fireplaces and inserts from Mendota.
If you're building, remodeling, or converting an existing fireplace to gas, check out the superior construction and efficiency of Mendota.
You know, the fireplace is the focal point of most rooms, so do it right. Don't skimp. Get a Mendota. Our expert installers can give you a free estimate right in your home.
That's Lair Fireplace and Patio, Denver's most trusted fireplace specialist for 50 years.
KNRC News Time is 12:39. Time to check with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Heritage for the Blind, cleaning an accident involving a semi at Peoria and 47th. We also have another accident, Broadway and Alameda, busy intersection there. Everything else moving nicely. We are seeing a little bit of heavy traffic through the Central Valley, so just be aware of that. Don't sell it, don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeductions.com. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Winds have been picking up today, but it still looks good weather-wise. Partly cloudy with a high near 40. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 19. And again, a breezy day on Wednesday. A lot of folks travel. Looks good for that. Partly sunny, 38. Thanksgiving Day will become mostly sunny with a high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 42 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1240. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Needless to say, I was anxious to be 110 miles offshore and jumping off a boat in the open ocean.
Jim Ray is a marine biologist who has been working with a national marine sanctuary called the Flower Gardens, deep in the Gulf of Mexico.
The Flower Garden Banks are a very unique set of reefs. About 55% of the surface area is covered with living coral.
And while his work is not surprising, what might be is who he works for, Shell.
It just gives me a very different view and approach on the environment. Yeah, it has become an old friend.
Protecting this magnificent area is something people like Jim have been doing for over 30 years.
With this kind of protection, it'll probably be there 100 years from now for people to still enjoy.
And while Shell will continue to focus on energy, that will never be its only focus.
As long as I'm still allowed to dive, I'm not too old to climb back on a boat, I'll probably have the opportunity to go back to places like the Flower Gardens.
To find out more, see the Shell report at www.shell.com.
KNRC Market Watch.
Wall Street's main indexes are barely above flat. Right now, the Dow is up 5 points. S&P 500 gaining 1. The NASDAQ is up a fraction. But a look at the broad market shows a different picture. More than 2 of 3 stocks on the big board are advancing. After the Commerce Department's final reading on the nation's economic growth last quarter shows the biggest jump in almost 20 years. Consumer confidence for November also rising above expectations. Drug company stocks not getting a boost from the Medicare reform bill passed today by the Senate that includes a drug benefit. Analysts tell Reuters some think the bill may be revised to put price controls on drugs as early as next year. Right now, Pfizer is losing a quarter a share. Schering Plough is down a dime. Merck is down a dollar. Heading the other way, Eli Lilly, after that drug company announced testing of an experimental type 2 diabetes drug, is yielding good results. Lilly's shares are up a quarter. Stock in Amylin Pharmaceuticals, partner in the project, up a dollar now. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1242 on the Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock and then not until Monday. So all the loose ends that we've got to tie up. We better do it today, boys and girls and buckaroos. Tomorrow, Arnie Grossman is going to be filling in. Thursday is going to be Best Ofs. And Friday, Jerome Davis will be filling in. So that's the schedule. I will be back on Monday. We're talking about President Bush. We're talking about a pretty draconian environment in Washington, I think, where if you criticize at all, you're considered uncivil. Never mind that the conservatives did this, pounded on Clinton for the last, I don't know how many years, almost a decade of pounding on Clinton. And but if you do it now, you're still Dixie Chicked. Although I think it's having less success. It had more success in the beginning. I think that it's having less. But I was having a nightmare the other night where I thought that Bush could get reelected in 2004 because nobody would have the cojones to vote for whatever his whomever his opponent might be, and that somehow they're going to, with their huge war chest of $200 million or so, that they will convince people that he's the best choice. If that's the case, you can forget it. There was a story in, might have been the Washington Post, where, you know, these two bills, the energy bill that was momentarily defeated, they're going to go back at it again next year, it looks like, and Medicare, like about 30 or 40 of Bush's biggest contributors all stand to benefit from those bills. Amazing. These are the people who are the pioneers who are giving zillions of dollars. Are you surprised about that? I'm not surprised about that. 303-382-1150. Marilyn, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I just wanted to call and tell you, right after the inauguration of Bush, I had to be to work at 5 in the morning, so about 3:30, I turned the TV on to see what the temperature was, and they were interviewing Bush, and Bush was saying, and I'm going to be the best little dictator this country has ever seen. And I thought, oh, my God, that's my worst nightmare.
Did he say that? I can't believe he said that.
He honestly said it about 6 months ago. There was a man talking on NPR, and he says, yeah, I remember the interview I saw of Bush right after he was inaugurated, saying he was going to be the best little dictator. And ever since then, he has gone out of his way to prove that.
Well, think about people who are controllers, what do you call it when they're, micromanagers, you know, everybody's worked with one of those at one time or another. What is the quality that those folks all have in common? If I were asking, what do you think the quality is those people have in common?
Boy, what would you say?
Insecurity.
Well, that's true.
And Bush has been described as a weak man, and I could see, I have a picture here of Cheney on the one side and Rumsfeld on the other, taking him by the arm and hot walking him into Iraq. He's a blank slate. He's what the philosophers used to call a tabula rasa. He's a highly incurious person. That's the way his biographers have described him, a number of biographers. He was the blank slate that Karl Rove, he had a name, he had a pedigree, and he has an affability that resonates with voters. People think he's just a regular guy, never mind that he's part of the WASP elite. They think he's a regular guy, and he could connect with them. That was his skill. He could connect with them better than Al Gore, who was much brighter and much better prepared to take office than Al Gore could with the voters, and I think that's what propelled him as far as it did. Now, Al Gore had more votes than George W. Bush, but between Bush's family's abilities to steal the election, between all the chicanery that went on in Florida, between the Supreme Court and his daddy's in his pocket, I mean, he won it, but he was somebody who was less qualified, Marilyn, probably, to be president than you are or I am.
Oh, I think he really personified the best that money can buy. And, boy, were we in bad shape when he was the best.
But here's the story. They have been brilliant. Everything, they have been almost incompetent in every single thing that they've attempted,
yes,
except for their public relations. And there they have been brilliant. And I guess that's all it takes. It doesn't take any more substance. It only requires style. But the fact that Americans have become so easily manipulatable,
yes,
that an ad can, that a well-done ad, a 30-second, a 60-second TV spot can manipulate them into voting against their best interests is, to me, the most remarkable thing here, and nobody is really addressing that.
I'm incredulous. And I was listening to you yesterday when you were talking about Max Baucus was, you know, they twisted his arm, and he left, and he's such a...
He's a wimp.
Weenie.
Yeah, he is a weenie. He is, as Rush said, linguini for spine.
Yes.
Okay, Marilyn, I thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
303-382-1150. Ron calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I want to say happy Thanksgiving, Enid.
Thank you, Ron. To you,
too,
and to everybody listening. Huh?
Don't eat too much turkey.
You know, I have to say, Thanksgiving is my most favorite holiday. It is, it doesn't have the consumer juice that Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa have. But to me, it still retains, even if the reality isn't exactly quite the same, but it still retains that kind of Norman Rockwell feeling to it.
Oh, it's like that Norman Rockwell picture of the grandmother and that big turkey.
Yes, exactly. Well, we have a turkey in the White House right now. And we're trying to figure out ways to carve up this guy so that he doesn't succeed in the next election. What can we do?
I just wanted to back up your last caller. I remember seeing that at the inauguration and him saying words to that effect. I was going to be the best little dictator.
I can't believe he would say that.
He did. I think he was saying it half in jest.
Well, I'm sure he was thinking that he was half in jest. In fact, he was predicting this script.
I think he had many, many two mimosas or something. I don't know.
Well, he's not supposed to be having any mimosas if they have alcohol in them.
Well, anyway,
he should be. He should be living in an alcohol-free zone, and we know for sure he's living in a content-free zone. So we leave it there, Ron. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. There was one lone demonstrator backing Bush on his way to Fort Carson, I guess. But I saw a lot of signs along the route, and then you saw in the paper today in the presidential limousine, and there was a big sign that said, Impeach Bush. I don't see how Bush could have missed that sign. I'm hoping that he saw it. Anyway, these two bills that I was talking about, and I'm so outraged about it. The Medicare bill, it's going to be so horrible that the government has been restrained from overhauling prescription drug prices, from using its what could be vast purchasing power to negotiate the best deal. This, to me, is so irresponsible. It's going to be so massively expensive that this is one incident, one case, where the liberals and the conservatives have found common ground and they still were not able to defeat President Bush here. This, to me, is astonishing. More than three dozen. This is from the Washington Post. More than three dozen of President Bush's major fundraisers are affiliated with companies that stand to benefit from the passage of two central pieces of the administration's legislative agenda. The energy bill, which did not make it, barely did not make it, and thank God it didn't make it, and that's going to be rescheduled for next year, and the Medicare bill, which did make it and would not have made it if AARP had not hoarded out its membership and sold them out. The AARP did that. I'll tell you what, if you are an AARP member, if I were an AARP member, I would cease being a member. I wouldn't give them a penny, not for their membership and not for their many insurance, whatever programs that they have. I would absolutely get my money back from those people if I had anything to do with them. They really, what they did on behalf of seniors is unconscionable. And what they have done on behalf of future generations, some of them yet unborn, some of them that you're tucking into bed at night, who are going to have to pay for this massive... John McCain said it's going to take 21% of your taxes, your tax dollars, just to pay for this massive thing that's not even a very good thing that they have instituted here. I would like Medicare to do the right thing. My mom, my aunts, my uncles, everybody benefited from Medicare big time. And I'm sure you have had the same experience, whether it's a grandparent or whether it's a parent or an aunt or an uncle or somebody who has really benefited from it. You really want it to be there when you need it. 303-382-1150. Joe on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi,
yeah,
Joe.
I saw an article the other day that talked about how they're not funding No Child Left Behind again. And they were talking about how it's really hurting the program. And I had the idea that maybe we could start a national campaign for some kind of new federal law, no president left behind because of an education.
We want to leave this president behind as soon as possible and as quickly as possible.
Well,
there you go. Or how about a new constitutional amendment that you have to have an IQ above room temperature to be president?
IQ doesn't. I think you were right earlier. I don't think IQ has anything to do with it.
No.
He's a perfect shill. the perfect front man.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate the call. He's an ambulatory logo. That's what he is. He's somebody that Karl Rove, with that name and with that prestige and with all the backers and that extensive Rolodex. Do you know the extensive Rolodex that his father developed? Do you know that over the years they used to send out, Poppy and Barbara used to send out Christmas cards to thousands and thousands of people? They just kept adding names to their Rolodex. This is a Rolodex of potential donors. This is, you know, these were people that they had encountered. These are small town government officials. These are big city government officials. They concocted and collected an index file of all of these people. And every year, I don't know, massive amounts of Christmas cards, 10, 20,000 Christmas cards went out every year. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
If a radio station solicits your call, shouldn't they let you speak? We will. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's estimated that over 30 million men in America suffer from poor sexual performance, or PSP, a common problem that affects adult men of all ages. The good news is science and nature have now come together to produce a new, all-natural, drug-free option so men never have to experience PSP, poor sexual performance, ever again. Introducing all-new Procylon, a scientific blend of herbs and nutrients uniquely formulated to help promote sexual vigor and enhance sexual performance. Quickly and in the privacy of your own home, all-natural Procylon helps improve stamina, urge, and desire. And it's guaranteed to work for you. Maximize your performance with Procylon. Call now for your risk-free trial of Procylon at 1-800-701-4022. It's easy, completely confidential, and it'll work for you, guaranteed. Call 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022. 1-800-701-4022.
Whoa, look out! Coming through!
Oh, I'm really glad we came. I wonder if Deb is here.
Hey, Kelly, John, it's so good to see you. I was hoping you'd come.
Hey, folks, have you called your doctor yet about the purple pill called Nexium? Well, perhaps you should wait till you get home. Find out if Nexium Esomeprazole Magnesium is right for you. And call 1-877-4-NEXIUM or visit us at purplepill.com.
KNRC Community Commitment.
Hi, I'm Doug Keller. ArtReach is a Colorado nonprofit arts and human services organization dedicated to changing lives through the arts. Working with 230 agencies serving at risk or underserved children, adults, and seniors, ArtReach programs touch over 60,000 people in the Denver area. Support ArtReach by attending the 2003 Festival of Trees now through November 30th at the Wildlife Experience located at Peoria and Lincoln Avenue. For information, go to artreachdenver.org.
Stop by Bank One and get Maximum Strength Checking. Now Maximum Strength Checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts. So stop by Bank One today.
AM 1150 KNRC is proud to continue a Denver broadcast tradition. The State of Colorado, produced in conjunction with the Denver Press Club and Rocky Mountain Reflections. The State of Colorado is where Greg Dobbs hosts a panel of Denver journalists discussing the major stories of the week every Friday morning from 8 to 9:30. It's the most in-depth analysis and perspective on Denver radio. The State of Colorado is brought to you in part by Denver Center Attractions and International Optique. Friday mornings at 8 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel, would you join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC? Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1256 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Let's go right to the phones and to Jennifer on a cell. Hi, Jennifer. You're live with Enid. Jennifer? Jennifer hung up. Jennifer got scared. Jennifer thinks I'm being too hard on President Bush. I don't think I'm being hard enough. And where has the media been? They've been asleep. The media have not fulfilled their responsibilities, or they're actually beginning to come alive. And to the extent that they are and have been legitimately critical of this regime in Washington is the extent to which I think it's people are voicing their disapproval of President Bush's job as a president or the handling of Iraq and so forth. In other words, I think that the poll results reflect the change in reporting. When the reporting was perky and rosy and you had the embeds in there, then I think everybody was, you know, oh, Bush can do no wrong. The approval ratings were very high. We should be going into Iraq. We're doing the right thing. But to the extent that the reporting has become more and more critical, and to my mind, not nearly critical enough, then you have seen an erosion in those approval ratings. So I think that there's some connection. And I know that as we were getting ready to go to war against Iraq, a lot of us were looking to the people that we look up to for their opinions to help guide us in ours. You know, sometimes you're beginning to form your opinion. Your opinion is kind of inchoate. It's not completely formed. And you look to those people to give you some guidance. Are you on the right road? Are they reinforcing your thinking? Are they bringing up something that you hadn't considered? Maybe he is right to go to war. Well, I never thought so for one second. But the people that I look to, the people who typically I value their opinions, they all were just in bed with him. They had all just completely caved. I think they had taken leave of their senses. Really? 303-382-1150. So as I was saying, more than three dozen of President Bush's major fundraisers are affiliated with companies that stand to benefit from the passage of both the energy bill, which they're going to tackle again next year, and the Medicare bill. The energy provides bill provides billions of dollars in benefits to companies run by at least 22 executives and their spouses who have qualified as either pioneers or rangers, as well as to the clients of at least 15 lobbyists and their spouses who have achieved similar status as fundraisers. At least 24 rangers and pioneers could benefit from the Medicare bill as executives of companies or lobbyists working for them, including eight who have clients affected by both bills. In other words, to be a pioneer, you have to have brought in at least $100,000 in contribution, and rangers are pretty close to that as well. So a ranger is at least $200,000. You're a pioneer if you bring in at least $100,000 in contributions. You're a ranger if you bring in at least $200,000. So his biggest contributors got a huge payoff. Billions of dollars is their payoff in the Medicare, the new Medicare bill that looks like it's gone through, and the energy bill, which did not, scantily did not, but most likely they're going to bring it up again. And I hope people stand up to it, because this is the one that exempts any producers of MTBE from the lawsuits. The fallouts are poisoning all the groundwater in a lot of places in America. It's horrible what's happening. Really, everybody should be outraged. I hope this Thanksgiving we give thanks, we learn, demonstrate, I think, the proper deployment of the attitude of gratitude. And I want to go into that a little bit more, because I've actually written about Thanksgiving, and we'll talk about those poor turkey jerkers and all that as we continue. Politics too, scandal, gossip, all of it. Grist for the Mill on Enid Live, the Lucky Tuesday edition on AM 1150 KNRC. Two more hours coming up.
KNRC 1150.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150, KNRC, Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 1 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 44 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AT&T Wireless. Police have still had no luck in tracking down the suspect who tried to rob the King Supers at 13th and Cremaria over the weekend and wound up shooting a security guard in the process. The suspect approached the counter, pulled a gun, which the security guard tried to grab. As the suspect fled the scene, he fired several times, and a bullet struck the security guard. The shooter is described as a black man about 5 feet 8 inches tall and weighs about 160 pounds. Former CU quarterback John Hessler continues his recovery from an October 19th hit-and-run accident on I-76. Hessler had been in a coma for a while, but is now up and took his first shower today. His sister, Jolene Davis, says it was a big deal for her brother to take that first shower this morning.
That was wonderful. He enjoyed it, especially the hair washing.
Davis says she and other loved ones are optimistic that her brother will experience a full recovery.
Yes, of course. And our, like I said, our biggest problem right now is just is making sure he has patience.
She spoke with reporters today at St. Luke's Hospital, where Hessler is recovering. Davis says her brother has suffered no major brain damage and knows that CU plays arch rival Nebraska this week. Ringo Starr will assist the North American Aerospace Defense Command this Christmas. The former Beatles drummer will be the honorary Santa tracker, as NORAD reports St. Nick's progress on its website and toll-free number. NORAD's website, www.noradsanta.org, will also feature some of Starr's Christmas music. Tracking Santa has been a tradition at NORAD and its predecessor, the Continental Air Defense Command, for more than 45 years. President Bush is cheering congressional passage of legislation to overhaul Medicare. Speaking at a hospital in Las Vegas, Bush called it a good bill, an historic major victory in efforts to improve the U.S. health care system.
Because of the actions of the Congress, because of the actions of members of both political parties, the Medicare system will be modern and it will be strong.
Bush said it will give seniors more options and choices. The measure passed the Senate on a vote of 54-44 today. It cleared the House early Saturday. The nearly $400 billion 10-year plan adds a prescription drug element to Medicare. The U.S. headquarters in Baghdad is being targeted again. Loudspeakers at the U.S. compound blared the message, "Attack, take cover, this is not a test," as the sound of explosions and sirens echoed across the Iraqi capital today. Nearby residents say at least two rockets landed in the vicinity. One road now has a crater in it. The U.S. compound, which used to be one of Saddam Hussein's palaces on the west bank of the Tigris Tigris River has come under mortar and rocket attack several times this month. It remains unclear if any buildings were struck, and there have been no reports of injuries yet. Authorities investigating Michael Jackson on child molestation allegations are being inundated with potential leads. The Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department reports a substantial number of the calls regarding the King of Pop's alleged actions warrant further investigation. Meanwhile, ABC's Good Morning America reports that cameras were found planted in the plane that took the King of Pop from Las Vegas to California to surrender to authorities last week. Defense witnesses are painting a rosy picture of a young Lee Boyd Malvo long before he was charged with being a cold-blooded sniper. Kathy Culpepper reports from Chesapeake, Virginia.
Some of the adjectives being used to describe Malvo are loving, kind, respectful, obedient, and warm. Beryl Spence Jack, a former teacher, testified that Malvo did well in school and got along well with other students. Malvo's school records were introduced into evidence. They show that Malvo's mother listed Malvo's father as dead when he was very much alive. A Jamaican school principal said she was concerned about Malvo's emotional state because his mother moved him around so much. Kathy Culpepper, Chesapeake.
The U.S. economy is steaming along at a faster rate than previously thought. The nation's gross domestic product shot up 8.2% during the third quarter. It's the strongest quarterly gain seen in nearly 20 years and a full percentage point greater than what the Commerce Department had predicted it would be. Grammy winner Glenn Campbell is a free man after spending the night in jail in Phoenix, Arizona, on charges of extreme DUI, hit and run, and assaulting a police officer. The Rhinestone Cowboy posted a $2,000 bond this morning. In sports, the 7-6 Denver Nuggets welcome the 6-6 Phoenix Suns tonight to the Pepsi Center. The Colorado Avalanche dropped last night's game to the Nashville Predators. The Avs headed to Calgary for a Thanksgiving game with the Flames. When quality matters, reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
Hi, my name is Allison, and I met my fiancé Daniel at eHarmony.com.
My name is Rob, and I met my wife on eHarmony.com.
My name is Brenda, and I met my fiancé Tom on eHarmony.com.
There's a reason why couples who meet on eHarmony.com are falling in love and getting married. Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. Successful relationships always begin with broad-based compatibility. That's why at eHarmony.com we match you based on 29 dimensions of compatibility.
It helps you to figure out you, then it helps you to find that person that you are most compatible with.
You're learning intimate things about the person right from the very beginning.
There's a depth to eHarmony that the other sites don't have.
Log on to eHarmony.com and see for yourself why more eHarmony.com matches result in marriage than any online dating service. Do it right now and get your $40 personality profile free.
KNRC News Time is 106. Time to go to Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by Kohl's, and really a pretty good drive out there right now. We only have construction, Federal between 27th and 47th, also on 6th Avenue over 225 and 2nd Avenue under 225. Other problem spots due to construction. Get to Kohl's after Thanksgiving sale at 5:30 a.m. this Friday morning and receive a $10 reward for every $50 in purchases. See store for details. Kohl's. Give happy, get happy. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Winds have been picking up today, but it still looks good weather-wise. Partly cloudy with a high near 40. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 19. And again, a breezy day on Wednesday. A lot of folks travel. Looks good for that. Partly sunny, 38. Thanksgiving Day will become mostly sunny with a high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 44 degrees. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 135 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. It's a lucky Tuesday, getaway Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm getting away. I'm only here until 3 o'clock today. So we really have a lot of loose ends. I think we should have a potpourri today because we're en route to Thanksgiving. I won't be back with you until Monday. But you're going to be in really good hands tomorrow. Arnie Grossman will be filling in Thursday as you're preparing your turkey or sleeping with him, depending, or voting for him. We'll be doing best ofs, all of us here. So my best ofs meaning, former shows. In my case, it's going to be three interviews that we've done. Judy Collins, Annie Garrels from NPR, who has the best takes on what was going on in Iraq, and her friends are really worried. She very nearly did not make it out of there. And Judy Collins, who sang along with the music and was just a fabulous interview. So those three reprised for Thursday. Friday, Jerome Davis will be filling in for me. And with any luck, I'll be back on Monday, or maybe I'm never coming back. We'll see. Just kidding. All right. In San Francisco, my former home, there was a guy who called himself a breatharian. What is a breatharian, you might ask? Well, he was a guy who got women to follow him around. Sort of he was like a cult leader in training is what he was. And he called himself a breatharian. And he said that for decades he had neither eaten nor had any water to drink. Maybe he had water, but I don't even think water. And he just existed on breath, on air. So he called himself a breatharian and was trying to get a movement going. Well, somebody put him under surveillance and they found him going into a Winchell's Donut House one night, presumably for more than the breath of fresh air. And so he got exposed as a fake. But the BBC is reporting that doctors and experts are baffled by an Indian hermit who claims not to have eaten or had anything to drink for several decades. And he is still in perfect health. So what they did is he's a holy man or a faker, and that's an F-A-K-I-R, not E-R. He's over 70 years old. He looks thin, but not anorexic. And they have put him in the hospital. He spent 10 days under constant observation at Stirling Hospital in England. Oh, no, I'm sorry, in Stirling Hospital in India. And during that time, he did not consume anything and, quote, neither did he pass urine or stool, end quote, according to the hospital's deputy superintendent. Yet, he is in fine mental and physical fettle, say the doctors. Most people can live without food for several weeks and the body drawing on its fat and protein stores, but the average human can survive only 3 or 4 days without water. I'm not sure that that's true, because a little known fact of what they do if you're terminal in hospitals is that they cease feeding you, and sometimes they cease hydrating you as well. And I think my mother told me a story of a friend of hers who was over 100 and who had lived by herself and been perfect, drove even, and was really fine until the last few months of her life, and maybe she was 100 and change, I don't know, 103 or something. And at that point, when they saw nothing more could be done for her, they ceased feeding her, and I think they also ceased hydrating her. So no food, no water. I think she hung on for 2 or 3 weeks, and she had had a famously strong constitution. I might not be right about the water part, but it seems to me that that's what I recall. So here's a guy, a faker, F-A-K-I-R, 70 years old. He claims that he hasn't had anything to eat or drink in decades, and he looks like for a 70-year-old, he looks pretty perky. I say that because we're about to embark on a holiday that is my favorite. I think of all the holidays, it is my favorite holiday of the year. I have the warmest feelings about it. I'm not sure it's always lived up to its advance billing, but I love the idea of Thanksgiving. And I wrote a piece about it that the Chicago Tribune published a while ago, and I think so did the San Francisco papers and so on, and I'll share it with you. As holidays go, Thanksgiving barely ranks. It doesn't have its own bowl game, even though football seems to dominate the day. No ads tell you how many shopping days are left, although actually they're beginning to do that now. I got an L.L. Bean thing, an email telling me that there were 30 days left. It used to be, that Thanksgiving, no ads. It used to be that no ads told you how many shopping days are left, but now they do, of course. The poor thing moved several times, still doesn't have its own date. And instead of a proud eagle, such as we have on the 4th of July, or a mistletoe, which will at least get you kissed, the symbol for Thanksgiving is usually a pathetic-looking turkey, which is an interesting metaphor because in the wild, turkeys are actually smart. In fact, Ben Franklin wanted to name the turkey the national bird. Maybe it already is. But in civilization, we have bred them to be almost too stupid to stand. In any event, Thanksgiving is definitely not one of our glitzier holidays, which is exactly what I like about it. To me, Thanksgiving will always mean a Norman Rockwell magazine cover, even if the reality never comes close. Unfortunately, for a lot of us, Thanksgiving has become just another excuse for gluttony. That turkey isn't saying gobble, gobble for nothing. Thanksgiving's main job isn't so much to give thanks as it is to officially launch the Christmas season, which was actually launched not too long after school started. At a time when few of us even bother to write thank you notes, let alone utter the words, the question is, have we forgotten how to give thanks? In a consumer society that constantly propels us in the direction of more and better, it's easy to put our decimal point in the wrong place when it comes to counting our blessings. The lament these days seems to be, it's not enough. No one seems to make enough, have enough, feel good enough, be quite where they'd hope to be in life. We are, as a matter of fact, often so busy striving to move forward, upward, laterally, or away, as to be too busy to feel grateful. Especially in a lousy economy, what we seem to have lost is the attitude of gratitude. So, at a time when practically all you hear is how much less we have than we used to, how it doesn't count unless we make more this year than we did last, it's nice to have a holiday that isn't striving to be upwardly mobile. A holiday that encourages us to feel fine as we are and grateful for what we have. A holiday that isn't embarrassed to be represented by a mascot with a low IQ and a bad name. Now, a holiday like this, where you can put on the turkey instead of the dog, is definitely something to be thankful for. So if you want to know a little bit about the Thanksgiving turkey, more than you ever wanted to know, something that might actually put a curb on how much you ingest this Thanksgiving, let me share a little bit about it. First of all, the turkey has, you know, when you sit down, I happen to like turkey. And I happen not to want to think about how it got to my table, to tell you the truth. But if you want to think about it, here's what you want to know about the turkey. In the wild state, the state that Benjamin Franklin thought was worthy of naming the turkey the national bird, the turkey was a fast runner, a notoriously difficult prize for hunters. Even after they were domesticated, turkeys remained spirited, traditionally spending the bulk of their lives outdoors, exploring, climbing trees, socializing, and, of course, breeding. Now consider the turkey that's going to be on your plate. It probably was hatched in an incubator on a huge farm, most likely in the Midwest or the South. Its life went downhill from there. A few days after hatching, in the first of many unnatural, if not necessarily painful, indignities, it had its upper beak and its toenails snipped off. A turkey is normally a very discriminating eater. Left to its devices, it will search out only the exact food that it wants to eat. But in order to fatten these turkeys up quickly, what the farmers do is they clip the beak, transforming it into a kind of a shovel. With its altered beak, it can no longer pick and choose what it will eat. Instead, it will do nothing but gorge on the highly fortified corn-based mash that it is offered, even though that's far removed from the very diet of insects, grass, seeds the turkeys prefer. In the toenails, they're removed so that they won't do harm later on. In the crowded conditions of industrial production, mature turkeys are prone to picking at the feathers of their neighbors and even cannibalizing them. So after their beaks are clipped, mass-produced turkeys spend the first 3 weeks of their poor little short lives confined with hundreds of other birds in what is known as a brooder, a heated room where they are kept warm, dry, and safe from disease and predators. The next rite of passage comes in the fourth week, when turkeys reach puberty and grow feathers. For centuries, it was at this point that a domesticated turkey would move outdoors for the rest of its life. But with the arrival of factory turkey farming in the 60s, all that changed. Factory farm turkeys don't even see the outdoors. Instead, as many as 10,000 turkeys that hatched at the same time are herded from brooders into a giant barn. These barns are generally windowless, but are illuminated by bright lights 24 hours a day, keeping the turkeys awake and eating. The turkeys are destined to spend their lives not on grass, but on wood shavings laid down to absorb the overwhelming amount of waste that the flock produces. Still, the ammonia fumes rising from the floor are enough to burn the eyes, even at those operations where the top level of shavings are occasionally scraped away during the flock's time in the barn. Not only do these turkeys have no room to move around in the barn, they don't have any way to indulge their instinct to roost, clutching onto something with their claws when they sleep. Instead, the turkeys are forced to rest in unnatural positions, analogous to how you would be for a human to be sleeping sitting up. Not only are turkeys in the barn all the same age, they and the roughly 270 million turkeys raised on factory farms each year are all the same variety, the appropriately named broad-breasted white, otherwise known as the Dolly Parton. Every bit of natural instinct and intelligence has been bred out of these turkeys, so much so that they are famously stupid to the point where farmers joke that they'll drown themselves by looking up at the rain. Broad-breasted whites have been developed for a single trait, at the expense of all others, producing disproportionately large amounts of white meat in as little time as possible. Industrial turkeys pay a high price for the desire of producers and consumers for lots of white breast meat. By their eighth week, these turkeys are severely overweight. Their breasts are so large, they are unable to walk or even have sex, and this is where the turkey jerkers come in. All industrial turkeys today are the product of artificial insemination. Needless to say, no broad-breasted white could hope to survive in nature. These turkeys' immune systems are weak from the start, and to prevent even the mildest pathogen from killing them, farmers add large amounts of antibiotics to their feed, which, of course, we are all ingesting by having this turkey, right? The antibiotics also help the turkeys grow faster and to prevent ailments like diabetes, respiratory problems, heart disease, and joint pains that result from an unvaried diet and lack of exercise. Because the health of these turkeys is so delicate, the few humans who come into contact with them generally wear masks for fear of infecting them. On non-industrial farms, it takes turkeys 24 weeks to arrive at slaughter weight, about 15 pounds for a hen and 24 pounds for a tom. Industrial turkeys, however, will need half that time. By 12 to 14 weeks, the whole flock is ready for the slaughterhouse. Once slaughtered, the turkeys have to suffer one more indignity before arriving in your grocer's meat case. Because of their monotonous diet, their flesh is so bland that processors inject them with saline solution and vegetable oils, improving mouth feel while at the same time increasing shelf life and adding weight. Anyone who cooks, and I'm going to make another confession on the air, not only has your radio goddess Enid Live never made a sweet potato with marshmallows on top. I've never made a turkey either. I've gone out with a few, but I've never actually cooked a turkey, although I ought to learn, don't you think? In any event, so I wouldn't know about this, but anybody who has cooked a turkey, chefs today have to apparently go to heroic lengths to counteract the turkey's cracker-like dryness and the lack of flavor. Cooks must brine, marinate, deep fry, and hide the taste with maple syrup, herbs, spices, butter, and olive oil. And then there's something called the turducken. Have you heard that? They do that in the South. The fad now is a deep-fried turkey. But there's something called the turducken, and that is when they stuff a turkey with a duck, and then they put something into the duck, a chicken, a duck, and a turkey, a turducken. Yeah, that's why the three. So I don't know the order of stuffing, but I mean, you talk about wretched excess. Has anybody had one of these things? A turducken. I haven't had the deep fried turkey either. Anyway, so here you've got the terrible taste, and so they have to somehow improve it both at the factory. So that's probably why they have the butterball turkey. And that's probably not even butterball that's in that turkey either. It's not hardly a turkey either. So one thing you could do, and also the idea that there's this one variety, the broad-breasted turkey, which it could, if anything happened to it, I mean, the whole species could be destroyed, and then maybe we hardly have turkeys at all. But one solution is to bypass the broad-breasted whites altogether, and some nonprofit groups, including Slow Food USA and American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, are working with independent family farms to ensure that a handful of older pre-industrial turkey varieties known as heritage breeds are still being grown. These varieties are slowly gaining recognition for their dark, rich, and succulent meat, although I really like white meat. I don't want that dark meat. My group, which encourages, this is the guy who's with Slow Food, encourages the preservation of artisanal or artisanal foods, sells turkey on behalf of these farmers, but we don't profit from the transaction. So I guess, I don't know if they have, you know, they have Rocky, the free-range chicken. Well, maybe they have some free-range turkeys. And you know what free-range means, is they walk around like a couple, you know, a foot or two. They don't really get too far. But it's more free-range than being stuck on those ammonia-infested wood shavings that these poor turkeys. I mean, isn't this disgusting? Are you going to be able to eat your turkey? I say this, it's a little bit of a public service here, because maybe you won't gorge out on Thanksgiving Day. That would be a good thing that we could all try to strive for and probably fall short of. Brooke, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Enid. I just jumped in my car for my lunch, and I heard you talking about this.
Did it help you with your diet?
No, I just only have one thing to say, is that thank God I'm a vegetarian.
Well, what are you going to serve? Because I knew a vegetarian who I talked about earlier, and every Thanksgiving what she does is she serves tofu in the shape of the country of Turkey.
Well, I normally just eat the vegetables. and things like that. My husband, who calls your show all the time, Matt, if you're listening, eat your turkey with pride this year, because I've always said if people knew what they were eating or what it went through to get on your plate, I swear you'd be like me. I gave up meat about, well, I'd say about 3 years ago, and I'll never go back. So I thank you for putting things like that. Hopefully people will become vegetarians.
Brooke, I thank you for the call. Thanks very much. I saw a piece that 60 Minutes did a few years ago on chickens, how chickens are processed. I promise you. You say, you take a look at that. I could not eat chicken for 2 or 3 years, and I still haven't really come back to chicken much. I'm more of a fish person. But I just, when I saw that, I thought, I can't do this. I just can't eat those things. And also, I grew up where there were chickens. I grew up on a farm, and our neighbors had chickens, and they were the smelliest, filthiest thing. So I really have never had a great, you know, I do it once in a while, but I've never had a great desire for chicken. I think only when they mask it, like those deep fried, you know, like KFC or something like that, when it's really all about the the grease and the skin and all of that stuff, does it make a chicken more palatable as far as I'm concerned? 303-382-1150, and that's a little appetizer for your Thanksgiving dinner. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday Live edition of of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Top radio talk show host, definitely Enid Goldstein, says the Rocky Mountain News, AM 1150 KNRC.
What's all the buzz in the suburbs? Find out by subscribing to Buzz in the Burbs magazine. If you're looking for all the best places to eat, shop, travel, and have fun with the family, you'll find it in Buzz in the Burbs, the original lifestyle magazine for Denver suburbs. Buzz in the Burbs is a terrific resource with a wealth of information on fashion, food, home, travel, health, education, local events, personalities, and more. Best of all, you can get the buzz delivered right to your door. If you're not on the mailing list, call Buzz in the Burbs at 303-689-7665 or visit www.buzzintheburbs.com now to subscribe. For just over $1 a month, you get all the buzz about your suburban community right in your mailbox every month. 40,000 active, affluent families rely on Buzz in the Burbs for great ideas on family living. For advertising information or to subscribe, call 303-689-7665 or check out the buzz on the web at www.buzzintheburbs.com. Call 303-689-7665 today.
Here at Airborne Command Headquarters, we get hundreds of letters, some worthy of Chaucer, some not. But one thing they all agree on, they all love Airborne, the wonderful product created by a school teacher who was sick of catching colds in class. Now, what kind of kook writes in to praise a product, you ask? Hey, man, we're talking Airborne, the effervescent health formula that you drop in water and it tastes great. Airborne is a miracle cold remedy, writes Julie Wendt. Finally, a cure for the common cold, says Alec McMurdo. Do these sound like kooks to you? Of course not. So take Airborne. It's really good. Yeah.
Hi, this is Victoria Knight McDowell. I'm a second grade teacher, and I developed the dietary supplement Airborne because I was sick of catching colds in class. When you feel that first cold symptom, won't you please give Airborne a try? Thank you.
Find Airborne Natural Cold Remedy at Walgreens, Rite Aid, CVS, Long's, Brooks, Duane Reade, and Trader Joe's. Ask for Airborne, baby.
Tune in Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to noon for Style Matters, sponsored locally by Aspen Grove, where life meets style. Style Matters is a weekly discussion of the Denver lifestyle as it relates to fashion and style. Style Matters is hosted by Judy Schwartz and Eve Linda Ehrman of the Style Matters column in the Rocky Mountain News. Saturdays 10 to noon, tune in to Style Matters for discussions about fashion, style, and local shopping. Sponsored by Aspen Grove. Shopping Colorado style. And now, the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
1:26 on the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. It's actually a getaway Tuesday for me. I'll be gone. Not back until Monday, but you will be in good hands while I'm out. And I wonder what your Thanksgiving plans are. We're sort of having a potpourri. This is sort of like our own Thanksgiving feast here. And one of the things I want to address, we've been talking politics. We will continue. As you know, I have no attention span to speak of. So we talk about a lot of things all at the same time. And I have a lot of things that I want to get to. But one of the things I do want to get to, and I do think is important, is the attitude of gratitude. There's not enough of it around. And I, let me see if I can find it now. I'll have to dig through, because there's, I saw in today's USA Today, there is the author of a book, and I love the title of it, and I think we're going to try and get him on, but the title of it, I thought, said everything. And as soon as I dig out the, Joe, do you know where that is? Let's go find it. It's in my pile of stuff here someplace, but I don't see it offhand. But in any event, I want to talk about the attitude of gratitude, because I think we don't have enough of it. I think the idea of being grateful for what you have, instead of this whining that everybody seems to indulge in collectively, I'm not saying I'm exempt either from that. I think we all do it. This whining about how we're not getting enough, we don't have enough, it's not enough. And here's the thing that people don't do typically. Here's what they typically do not do. They do not, write thank you notes. When's the last time you got a thank you note for anything? I knitted. Now I can't make it. I've never made a turkey, and I've never made sweet potatoes with marshmallows. But I did knit once in a while. I only know how to knit in purl. I only know how to do the basic thing. And I knitted an afghan for a kid who's now probably ready to vote or go to college. I never got a thank you note. I never got a hand-knit baby blanket, I think, is a sensational gift. Any gift that anybody takes the trouble to get you, even if it's the most hideous taste, even if it's somebody's picture, JFK's picture on velvet, you know, a lava lamp that wasn't meant to be ironic or hip, whatever, Lawrence Welk album, I don't care that somebody thought of you, is really the main thing, and that they expressed it in not quite your taste. I hear people getting so bent out of shape about the gifts, and you know, here we are coming into the gift-giving season. I don't think I'm going to be doing too much gift-giving this season. I hope to do no gift-giving at all. I'm hoping to do that. I don't know if I'll succeed. I usually break down at the last minute. But if somebody gives you anything, can't you muster being grateful? I think, and people today say, oh, so-and-so gave me such a lousy gift, and I probably have said that myself. But if it doesn't work for you, pass it on to somebody else. Don't throw stuff away. Magazines are now about as expensive as paperbacks used to be. I always distribute these magazines to, sometimes you take them to nursing homes or places, group homes, or someplace where, or the doctor's office, or the emergency room, the waiting room, or something. This is a wonderful place where people can read. You know, you pass them along, take them over to your health club, and what are you pointing to me? Yes, I know. Thank you. All right, Joe has just handed me something. This is the book, and the book is An Epidemic of Selfish Kids. And the title of the book, and we're going to try and get this author on, because the title, I think, says it all. The Epidemic, the Rot of American Culture, Absentee and Permissive Parenting, and the Resultant Plague of Joyless, Selfish Children. And I think when you're not grateful, there is an element of selfishness in there. You may want to comment about this, 303-382-1150. But I think to cultivate the quality of being grateful does a lot of things. First of all, I think it makes you more pleasant as a human being. I think it goes a little, you're a little bit more evolved, really. And here's the secret about it. If you're grateful, it opens the door to more. If you can say thank you, and one of my favorite writers, Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson, you know, one of the early American writers, the New England writers, I think he was part of the Transcendental movement. He always stressed a couple of things, and I always remembered what he said. He said, you always want to thank people, and you always want to, don't ask for something you can do yourself. There are some people who are so lazy, it's like, peel me a grape. Well, okay, do it yourself. When you really need help, that's really the time. When you cannot do it yourself, that's the time to ask somebody to do it for you or ask for help. But if you can do it yourself, don't burden somebody else with these requests, and always thank people. Pay your dues, pay your bills, pay what you owe. There's something about that transaction, by the saying the thank you, the being grateful, the paying their bills, not burdening people when you don't have to, that brings more to you. Don't do it for that reason. Do it because it's the right thing to do. But the truth is, it will, when you're grateful, it brings more to you. When you move the junk out of your house, the gifts that didn't work, the stuff you've accumulated that you do not use, find a home for it, for someone who will love it and use it and cherish it. And it opens the door to bringing more into your life that is more appropriate for your life right now. You can't fill a glass that's completely full. If your closets are bulging with all kinds of stuff that you ought to go through and winnow, stuff that you ought to pass along to someone who will enjoy it. I saw in the paper there was a sweater drive. You know, there have been various coat drives. I'm sure the Salvation Army or the various thrift stores that are not the consignment stores but make stuff available for people who are suffering at this time of year. This is a good time. I know it's going to get really busy, holiday parties and stuff like that. This is a really good time to do that, to clean out your closet, and as a result, you're cleaning out your life. Too. And you're opening the door to your own transformation. And it's going to be hard for you to believe. But this coming up, with Thanksgiving as the official launch date, we come into a very spiritual time of year. At least it used to be. That's before shopping and high consumption was dancing in the arms of anything that appeared to be spiritual. It's a dance that's going on now. And for retailers, It probably is the time of year when they make around half their profits for the year. So that you're going to be pounded with what to buy, and you're not a good parent unless you stuff your kids with the most expensive kind of video games and PlayStations and everything else. But I don't think that that's what your kids really want more than anything else. I think what your kids really want is you and time with you. And what they really want is love. And what they really want is attention. And that's what your partners want. That's what your friends want. Your spouses, your loved ones, your moms and dads, everybody who's you're close to. We are so busy and we are so rushed that if we could take some time to feel grateful for what we have. Not that we are all, you know, there's always more that you want, there's always more that you need, but be grateful that you're in good health if you are, that you're ambulatory if you are, that you're managing if you're able to, that somehow things will work out. My grandfather, in his broken English, when they'd get on the car and he would drive in a sort of shaky immigrant way that he drove and didn't know, have a clue where he was, people would say, "Pa, Pa, where are we?" And he would say, with complete confidence, he'd say, "Well," he'd say, "we'll come out someplace." And you know, however difficult life is, we always come out someplace. So try to remember these ideas about really giving the thing that people want the most, which is of each other. You know, when things are tough, the best thing is a good friend who listens to you, even if the friend is not able to help you with whatever the difficulty is. But just listening can really take a load off of a friend's shoulders. And just being there for your friend, driving them someplace, doing something if somebody's older, bringing some groceries into them if they're not able to get out. That's the stuff, I think, that really matters. But for us to be able to give to somebody else, you have to feel like you have enough yourself. You have to feel like you're not running on empty. So consider that as we approach Thanksgiving and all the football that's going to be on TV and all the overeating and the gobble-gobble that we're going to be doing, and then we're all going to run off to the gym to try to work it off and try to get a couple of calories ahead of the upcoming Christmas season, just remember to try to demonstrate or think about the attitude of gratitude. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 1:35, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Diamond Shamrock Corner Stores. An explosion destroyed a house in Brighton last night. A man in the house was able to escape, but a woman in the house had to be dug out of the rubble. Both were taken to area hospitals. Neighbors say a truck had recently been at the home to refill the propane tank. The flu continues to hit hard in Colorado, with more than 2,600 confirmed cases so far. Hospitals and doctors' offices are urging people to cover their mouths with masks and wash their hands often with antiseptic soaps in hope of keeping the flu from spreading while patients are in the waiting rooms. Fort Carson has now lost 31 of their soldiers in Iraq. 24-year-old Corporal Gary Coleman of Kentucky is the latest Fort Carson soldier killed. Coleman had married just before being shipped out in March. The death toll of soldiers from the base include two National Guard soldiers and another who died of cancer. In sports, the Phoenix Suns come to town tonight to take on the Denver Nuggets. Zip into your neighborhood Diamond Shamrock Corner store and pick up Pepsi and Dr. Pepper 12-packs, two for just $5.99. Diamond Shamrock, drive in, zip out. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 1:37.
John Madden here to tell you about the Big Ace Hardware one-day sale happening this Friday, November 28th. Get great stuff to decorate your home, like a big 6-foot lighted spiral tree for only $9.99, or pre-lit deer silhouettes for your lawn for just $12.99 each. This is one sale you don't want to miss, so drop by your neighborhood Ace this Friday. Doors open at 7 a.m., so make plans to shop early. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities may be limited and are available at participating Ace stores. Rebates void in Connecticut.
New French Vanilla Cool Whip.
New French Vanilla's here for that special time of year. To the Cool Whip. Happy holidays, just a dollop away. To the Cool Whip. Add the French Vanilla touch. That always means so much. Cocoa, apple pie, and cake. Ooh, it's time to celebrate. French Vanilla.
KNRC News Time is 1:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the History Channel. Got an accident on Hampton just west of I-25. Everything else moving nicely. We did have an earlier accident, I-70 at Steele. That should be out of there and things getting back to normal. See how military technology goes civilian on Tactical to Practical tonight at 7, only on the History Channel. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC Traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Winds have been picking up today, but it still looks good weather-wise. Partly cloudy with a high near 40. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 19. And again, a breezy day on Wednesday. A lot of folks travel. Looks good for that. Partly sunny, 38. Thanksgiving Day will become mostly sunny with a high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 43 degrees. KNRC News Time is 1:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear ye, and welcome to our royal celebration. Disney on Ice presents Princess Classics. It's the seven most enchanting stories of all time with all your favorite princesses, brave heroes, and funny friends in one amazing live show. Get Cinderella to the castle in time and dance at the royal ball. Dive into an undersea party with the Little Mermaid and Sebastian. Journey to the Sultan's castle and escape on a magic carpet ride with Aladdin and Princess Jasmine. Help brave Mulan fulfill her heroic destiny. And join Beauty and the Beast, Snow White, and Sleeping Beauty for a dazzling celebration of romance, fun, and adventure. Live in your hometown. Disney on Ice, Princess Classics. Get tickets today and let the happy endings begin.
Coming to the Pepsi Center, December 10th through the 14th. Get your tickets today at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, or call to charge by phone.
KNRC Market Watch.
Stocks are showing signs of strength inside the final hour of trading following better-than-expected reports on economic growth from the last quarter and consumer confidence for this month. Right now, the Dow Industrials are up 39 points, best number of the day so far. NASDAQ is adding 7 points. The S&P 500 is up 5. Al Goldman, chief market strategist at A.G. Edwards, says the markets have history on their side this Thanksgiving week.
If you look back 52 years and combine November and December, you'll see that they have been up on a combined basis 81% of the time. So we've got a little history going for us.
But drug stocks are losing ground today after the Senate passed Medicare legislation that will add a prescription drug benefit. Analysts say they're concerned the bill could be revised to include price caps as early as next year before it could even take effect. Right now, Pfizer stock is down a quarter. Sharing Plow is off 15 cents. Again, though, signs of life on Wall Street, Dow up 38 points. I'm Joe Matthew from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150.
We hear you.
303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
1:41 on the Getaway Tuesday, Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. And today is sort of a potpourri because I'm taking off, and I imagine a lot of you are, too. Looks like the office is getting sparse here. And I think a lot of you are probably heading out for your Thanksgivings. Some of you, I know Joe is heading out and tonight, and a lot of Doug Kellett is as well. So I'm curious to know what your Thanksgiving plans are. And I don't know if you saw Mark Kobrick's column in the Post, but he was talking about gift cards, which a lot of people are buying as gifts. Instead of giving you, it's the equivalent of a gift certificate. Instead of putting money into an envelope or trying to figure out what somebody wants, a lot of people are buying gift cards. And what you, and the retailers love this because they have all these hidden rules that you don't know about in the redemption of these gift cards. Just to let you know, it's a little consumer thing. If you don't use them by a certain time, and some companies it's by a year, they'll ding you $2 a month or $1.50 a month for every month that you don't use the card. So it will be worth less. And so, that's why the companies, these big companies, love these cards, because something like $4 billion last year were never redeemed in these gift cards. So they didn't actually have to sell anything. They sold these cards, and $4 billion worth were never redeemed. So if you hang on to them for too long, some Circuit City charges a gift card fee, $2 a month after 24 months. Barnes & Noble charges $1.50 a month after just a year. And Starbucks charges $2 a month after only a year. Some gift cards, Mark Kobrick says, are better deals than others. For example, Gap cards have no fees and they never expire. Here's what California has done, and I would suggest, instead of John Andrews going around to see whether they're conservatives on campus, you know what he ought to do? He ought to do something good for consumers. And what he ought to do is what California did. California law is going to prohibit merchants from charging any fees on retail gift cards during the first 2 years. I think they ought to not have any fees forever. The gift card ought to be good forever, or let's say 3 years. You think that sounds fair? Maybe John Andrews could busy himself doing something like that. Some of our legislators could really do something on our behalf instead of these huge giveaways to corporate America that we are going to pay for. Now, here's what the Wall Street Journal is reporting. Once again, they're saying the pharmaceutical industry has overplayed its strong hand in Washington. The Medicare prescription drug bill moving through Congress includes language that explicitly prohibits the government from negotiating discounts directly with the drug companies. That language, the Wall Street Journal is writing, was unnecessary. Both the Senate and the House structured their legislation to ensure that private sector companies and not the federal government manage the new drug benefit. The superfluous provision was designed to give the drug companies some, quote, extra protection. Instead, what it has done, ooh, this is the law of unintended consequences, this I love. Instead, it has created a clear and easy target for opponents. One Democratic senator after another has taken shots at it. The provision was a payoff, they argued, for the tens of millions of dollars that the pharmaceutical industry poured into the Republican campaign coffers over the past decade. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exactly right? And what it does here, so here were the drug companies. They're so greedy that this is what they wanted. They already had what they wanted, and they wanted more. So they made it an explicit provision. The way it was already structured, they already got what they wanted, that the government really couldn't negotiate price caps or use its vast purchasing power to negotiate the price downward. They already had that, but they had this explicit provision, and they've overplayed their hand, according to the Wall Street Journal, and I hope this is true. Today's Borowitz report. In a rare show of unity, the Democrats vow to defeat Howard Dean. Clark says, replace Howard Dean with NATO troops. Abandoning their quarrelsome, fractious ways, the leading Democratic presidential candidates made a joint appearance in Iowa today in which they unequivocally resolved to defeat former Vermont Governor Howard Dean in 2004. Now is the time to put our differences behind us, Representative Richard Gephardt told the Davenport audience. Now is the time to remember why we are all in this race. To defeat Howard Dean. Mr. Dean, who was on stage at the time, appeared to turn beet red with anger as the other candidates voiced their determination to defeat him. But before he could seize the microphone from Mr. Gephardt, Senator John Kerry interjected, temper, temper, Howard. Mr. Dean's reputation for hot-headedness is the subject of a new campaign ad paid for by all the other Democratic contenders in which the former Vermont governor turns into the comic book character, the Incredible Hulk, angrily hurtling an army tank through the air. Well, you know what? The Borowitz report, he's really right about this. If the Democrats ought to unite, what they need to do is you need to unite against to defeat George W. Bush instead of trying to defeat Howard Dean. Don't you think? Or would that be too much to ask for, to get the Democrats to wake themselves up, to assure themselves sufficiently to actually defeat George W. Bush in the next election? 303-382-1150. George, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hi, Enid. This is George.
Hi, George.
You changed subjects on me, but I wanted to make a comment about gift cards.
Yes.
My wife and I used to be in the restaurant business, and we offered gift cards, gift certificates, and so forth in any denomination, and we particularly pushed them at the holiday season. And, boy, oh, boy, is that good for the merchant. It's like picking money up off the sidewalk.
Why?
Well, one-third of them never come back.
You're kidding. You mean here you have a restaurant and someone could come in and have a meal and they don't actually use the gift certificate?
They get lost. They find their way in the back of a drawer that you've thrown away. Whatever happens to them, one-third of them never come back.
So aren't companies then, if one-third of them never come back, aren't companies then completely greedy then? If it's not used in 24 months and then they start dinging you $2 a month, or even some companies in a year if it's not used?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's total greed. There's no bookkeeping involved. All you have to do is honor it. And when you honor a gift certificate that was bought 2 or 3 years ago, you're paying for it in today's value, which is another advantage to the merchant.
Because today's value is less than it was 2 or 3 years
sure.
ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a $100 gift certificate would have bought a lot more 2 years ago than it would today. So the merchant only has to give $100 worth of goods or services in today's pricing. And so that's another advantage. So the longer it's out, the more valuable it becomes to the merchant, even if it's redeemed.
Did you ever have a time limit on your gift card, storage?
No, we didn't.
Do you regret that? I mean, if someone comes to you that's 10 years old or 5 years old, someone found it in the back of a drawer someplace?
No, we would. Occasionally, we got them in like 2 or 3 years later, and when they'd show up, we'd all have a good laugh and say, well, what drawer did this find its way into? But no, there should be no expiration. It's pure greed to put an expiration date. You know, that's like putting your money in the bank and not doing anything with it, and 2 years later the bank starts charging you a couple of bucks a month for holding your money.
Well,
they should be thanking you for letting them use the money.
That's true. I had a situation in one of the bookstores. I had a gift certificate, and it was one of the big chains. Or I brought back a book or something, and, you know, I got a credit for the store credit for the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a time limit on it. If I don't use it within a certain period of time, I think it's the same deal as the gift card. They start dinging you.
Well, that's absolutely ridiculous. There's no reason for it other than greed.
We could get John Andrews and some people in the Senate, the Colorado legislature, to do what California has done and to protect consumers on this one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I would agree with that. Better that than putting quotas on college professors.
Well, he's too busy doing that, trying to do something divisive and trying to stir up trouble in the universities when there's not even an issue, when he could actually do something that would be concrete to protect consumers, which no one seems to be doing in Colorado that much.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Well, just thought I'd make a comment that gift cards, the only time I ever buy a gift card or a gift certificate is when there is an immediate advantage to me, like getting 10% off my current purchase or something like that. And then I'll use the gift card myself to make sure that it gets used, and I just treat it like cash.
Is a gift card kind of a cop-out, really? It's not, you know, it's not the same as a, it's nice to get a gift card. I'm not trying to diminish anybody's gift to anybody. But is it something of a cop-out? You don't actually have to know what someone likes. You don't have to actually have to shop for it. You just go and buy a gift card, which is a very easy thing to do.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I think it's only slightly more personal than cash, and actually I'd rather get the cash, because when you give me a gift card, you've already selected and limited my places where I might spend your gift. I'd rather get cash. Let me spend it where I want. Spend it getting my car fixed.
George.
Or at the dentist or something, you know?
Yeah. But then you know what? It gets mingled, commingled with your other funds, and does it lose the giftness? Whereas if somebody gets you something that you use and you look at every day, it's hard, though, to buy the right gift for somebody. And if you don't do it just right, people sometimes feel very demeaned, or how could they think I would have taste like that? Or how could they, you know, how could they give me such a cheesy gift? Or, you know.
Well, it's an imperfect world.
It is. Well, that it is, George. I thank you very much for the call. Thanks for the info. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Tuesday, Lucky Tuesday, Getaway Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
Denver's best kept secret. The only station where you can hear hosts with all points of view. Hear both sides talk on AM 1150 KNRC.
The Prefab 4 are monkeying around again. Now you can own the complete second season of this television classic on DVD. Remastered in 5.1 digital surround sound. With hours of special features, including the Monkees TV special 33.5 revolutions per monkey. Separate commentary tracks by all four Monkees. Interviews, classic commercials, and much more. Pick up your complete second season of the Monkees on DVD. In stores November 18th.
Honey, why are you wallpapering? Hmm? I thought you needed to fix the lawnmower and a bunch of other stuff around here.
This isn't wallpaper. I'm just hanging up my to-do list.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of lawn equipment and home appliances, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Good life, great price.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximo Strength Mionite, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My lamp is wonderful, wet, drenching sensation,
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the speed of life.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
Celebrate the holiday season by spreading joy to children in need. Participate in Starbucks' 4th Annual Holiday Angels Toy Drive benefiting the Starlight Children's Foundation. Donate a new unwrapped toy at your neighborhood Starbucks now through December 25th by joining participants across North America. You can help reach the goal of collecting more than 330,000 toys for kids. So donate a toy today at your local Starbucks store and help brighten the smile of a seriously ill child this holiday season. Zip into your neighborhood Diamond Shamrock Corner store and pick up Pepsi and Dr. Pepper 12-packs, two for just $5.99. Diamond Shamrock. Drive in, zip out.
Kick off the holidays by attending the Art Reach Festival of Trees, November 15th through 30th at the Wildlife Experience. Presented by RE/MAX International, 2003 marks the 25th year of this landmark Denver holiday event, featuring gorgeous trees, wreaths, and decorations. Admission is only $6 for adults, $5 for seniors, and $3 for kids. And all proceeds benefit Art Reach, a Colorado nonprofit changing lives through the arts. For information on the 2003 Festival of Trees, go to artreachdenver.org. Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:54 on the Lucky Tuesday, Getaway Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about gifts, the attitude of gratitude. We're talking about Thanksgiving. We're talking about how turkeys get jerked. And we're talking politics. We're talking about a lot of different things. And one of the things I want to bring up, several things, and as we continue, we'll get into them. And that is that... you have President Bush, who, as we know, we started out the broadcast by talking about his visit to Fort Carson. And in Fort Carson, Mike Litwin, Jim Spencer, any of the reporters from the papers who had media credentials could not talk to any soldiers. They just, I mean, it was Nixonian. No, it's the screws are turned so tight about allowing you to do any real reporting. I mean, they weren't allowed to do any real reporting. It was a completely stage-managed event. But that's not the only aspect of the presidency that's completely stage-managed and limited. Upon signing the $87 billion emergency supplemental bill to fund military and reconstruction costs in Iraq, President Bush released a statement announcing that the Inspector General in Iraq, quote, shall refrain from initiating, carrying out, or completing an audit or investigation, or from issuing a subpoena which requires access to sensitive operation plans due to reasons of national security. In other words, the Inspector General in Iraq cannot audit any of that $87 billion, can't really do anything, can't really scrutinize it in any way. And any time they clamp down on our civil liberties, no more transparency, no scrutinizing, no looking at what things are going to cost. The reason that they give us is national security, and people are buying this. So here is Al Gore, finally, in full-page ads that are running moveon.org. It makes no more sense to attack civil liberties to get at terrorists than to invade Iraq to get Osama bin Laden. And what I am astonished at is that people are so willing to let their civil liberties go. The freedoms that made this country so great, they're happy to toss out the window because they're easily convinced that somehow national security is at stake, when national security has nothing to do with it. It's just a way of shutting the blinds while the robbery takes place and you can't see it happening. That's what that's all about. So how is it, if anybody's got theories about how is it that Americans are allowing themselves to be so hoodwinked by this administration? This is not a slam dunk. Howard Dean has got to fend off all his Democratic challengers who don't want to see him become... So here are the Democrats working across purposes to themselves. They don't want to see him become the candidate for president. So they're going to work to sabotage that possible candidacy. And George Bush's people are so brilliant at marketing and public relations, and people are so willing, apparently, to be hoodwinked, or so unwilling to exercise any kind of critical thinking, or so perhaps unable to. I don't know. I'm amazed that people are so easily manipulated by a regime that, to me, is completely transparent. And when it was the run-up to the war, I really thought they were transparent. And I made every logical argument that I could. I made every illogical argument that I could. I begged, I pleaded, I tried to persuade, and people were completely stubborn and stupid on this whole issue. They would not see it. Now people are beginning to see through it, beginning to question whether it was such a smart idea to go to war in Iraq in the first place, beginning to wonder if we had any exit strategy. How come we didn't have better post-war planning? How come we didn't have some kind of an occupation plan in place? And you've got more and more troops committing suicide. At least 17 troops, U.S. troops, have committed suicide in Iraq, and the Army's looking for answers. They're seeking to look into it. And parents of people whose kids have committed suicide want answers, and the Army doesn't want to share these answers. I'm not sure that they have these answers. So I have never seen a time when logic had so little force, and when people were so massively gullible. It's like an enchantment where the emperor's new clothes, the emperor's completely naked, and everyone says, gee, aren't his clothes wonderful? Isn't he a great president? How can people think that? Maybe you have some explanations for this. I am completely clueless on the subject. I am just amazed. I'm flummoxed. 303-382-1150. As we continue, more how our National Guard people aren't being paid, for example. They can't even get the paychecks right. I'm Enid Goldstein, the Tuesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. One more hour.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Englewood, Denver. Enid Goldstein continues straight ahead. It's 2 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by Parents, the anti-drug. The latest in a series of T-Rex closures is set for tonight. Here's spokeswoman Karen Morales.
Tonight we're going to be pouring the concrete deck for the southern portion of the Evans Avenue Bridge. In order to do that, we'll close down the northbound lanes of I-25 starting at 9 p.m. Then we'll close down the southbound lanes at Santa Fe Drive starting 1 hour after the Nuggets game ends tonight.
Meanwhile, at 8, various lanes of eastbound Evans at I-25 will be closed for the night as part of the same concrete pour. By the way, if you yearn for the day when you can again exit southbound 25 at Evans, Morales says, keep yearning. That exit won't be fully restored until late 2005 at the earliest. The flu season this year started about 2 months earlier than usual, and so far there are more than 2,600 confirmed cases of the flu in Colorado. In hopes of stopping the spread of the flu among patients in waiting rooms, doctors and hospitals are asking patients to cover their mouths with masks, and they're urging them to wash their hands often with antiseptic soaps. Doctors are still recommending that people get a flu shot to help avoid the illness. Former CU quarterback John Hessler continues to recover from an October 19th hit-and-run accident that left him in a coma until last Friday. He was up today and took his first shower since the accident on I-76 more than a month ago.
He still is really confused. I mean, he can talk and hold kind of a conversation with you, but he still gets lost on some things. But he's looking real well. I mean, as far as looks-wise, it looks like John.
That's Hessler's brother, Jason, who says that Hessler does appear confused at times. His friends and family met with reporters to discuss Hessler's progress today. Sanja Montoya, John Hessler's girlfriend, says it's great to be around him during his lucid moments.
He makes it real upbeat to be in his room, and it's our John, you know. It's the same John we knew, and he's great to have back and talk to.
Hessler is recovering at St. Luke's Hospital. President Bush is applauding Congress for passing legislation to overhaul Medicare. Speaking at a hospital in Las Vegas, Bush called it a good bill, an historic major victory in efforts to improve the U.S. health care system. The measure passed the Senate on a vote of 54 to 44 today. It cleared the House early Saturday. The nearly $400 billion 10-year plan adds a prescription drug element to Medicare and also creates incentives for private health plans to compete with Medicare coverage. A primary suspect in the 2000 bombing of the USS Cole is said to be in custody of authorities in Yemen. The official Yemeni news agency says the man, who is a member of Al-Qaeda, surrendered to police after they surrounded a house where the Islamic militant had been hiding. 17 American soldiers were killed when a raft laden with explosives blew up next to the U.S. warship. Personnel at the U.S. headquarters in Baghdad were urged to take cover as loud explosions echoed across the Iraqi capital today. Fox News cameraman Tom Ewing was rolling tape while doing a live interview with an Army staff sergeant when the explosions occurred. Ewing says it's not difficult to adjust to such attacks.
You gradually try and readjust, and you focus yourself and try not to think about things like that, and that's where the other crew members benefit you, and morale stays up, and we have a strong enough sense of humor, we'll just kind of get on with things and do it.
The facility in Baghdad has come under mortar attack several times this month. Despite today's attack on the U.S. headquarters, the military man in charge says the violence in post-war Iraq is waning. General John Abizaid says that assaults on American forces have been cut in half over the past weeks, thanks to intensified attacks on insurgents. A hotline set up to take tips regarding Michael Jackson's child molestation case is apparently being inundated with calls. The Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department reports a substantial number of calls warrant further investigation. There are very good signs that the nation's economy is definitely well on the road to recovery. The Commerce Department reports that the gross domestic product shot up 8.2% during the third quarter. That's the fastest rate in nearly two decades and higher than earlier projections. In sports, the Nuggets will try to stay above 500 tonight when they host the surging Phoenix Suns. Denver coach Jeff Bezdelic says that his Nuggets will see an old friend coming off the bench when big man Scott Williams tries to hold things together for the Suns.
Basketball, he'll work on his defending his man and helping out defensively as well, rebound. So he's a glue guy, and those you can't express how important glue guys are.
The Suns are 6-6, reaching 500 after winning three straight. The Nuggets come into tonight with a record of 7-6. Tip off tonight just after 7. Colorado Avalanche went 0-5 on the power play last night, wound up losing 3-2 to the Nashville Predators. Avs head to Calgary for a game with the Flames Thanksgiving night. ONDCP, parents who stay involved in their children's lives know what they're doing, who they're with, and where they're going. Parents, the anti-drug. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecaster up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Do you know the difference between customizing an opening to fit a door and customizing a door to fit an opening? Call Colorado Door Connection at 303-425-3366. They'll explain. From structural integrity to financial sense, this is a question you cannot afford to overlook when considering the doors in your home. Since a door is the first impression made to your home or room, and you know the saying, you only get one chance to make a first impression, Colorado Door Connection will help you make the best impression possible through excellent service and quality products. Call now and receive a free handle set valued at $160 with a purchase of $600 or more. Colorado Door Connection. Visit our showroom at 9710 West 50th Avenue, just off I-70 and Kipling, or call 303-425-3366. Don't put your home's doors on the back burner any longer. The holidays and holiday guests are fast approaching, so visit Colorado Door Connection today.
KNRC News Time is 2:06. Time to check the roads with Darren Copeland in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is a service of Bank One. Got a bit of a problem. It's on Dakota at Lincoln, where we had an accident involving a police officer, so watch for that. We also had a bit of a problem. Should be out of there. Hampton at I-25, that should be gone. Stop by Bank One and get maximum strength checking. Now maximum strength checking comes with free online bill pay on qualifying accounts, so stop by Bank One today. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Partly cloudy and breezy for the rest of today. The high should be around 40 degrees before dropping down to 19 tonight under a partly cloudy sky. Wednesday will be partly sunny again, breezy 38, but Thanksgiving Day looks great. Lots of sunshine moving in, the high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 43 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
And now the Enid Goldstein Show continues on AM 1150 KNRC.
2:07, 7 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and for me this is a getaway Tuesday as well because I'm getting away. I won't be back until Monday, but you're going to be in good hands. Arnie Grossman's going to be filling in tomorrow. We're going to be doing best ofs with three wonderful interviews on Thursday and Friday. Jerome Davis will be sitting in. I'll be back on Monday. I don't know if you ever think about copyright laws and so on, but you can trademark a lot of different things, and guess who's trying to trademark what? Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, and he's got that birthmark on top of the bald part in front of his head. It's sort of the shape of the country of Italy, the boot of Italy. He wants to trademark that. I don't know why. You could ask him that question. One of the questions that we were asking, and boy, do I have some juicy news for you that I'm going to share in just a second. One of the questions we were asking is, how is it that the American public has been so gullible and so malleable in the hands of Bush and his handlers? That is the one thing that they have done more than competently. They've been brilliant at it. Anytime they don't want to be transparent, anytime they don't want to share information, anytime they want to stamp down on our civil liberties or our democracies or our freedoms, they say it's a matter of national security. So they're using fear to manipulate us. How is it that we've let them get away with it? 303-382-1150. How is it that the American public hasn't demonstrated more critical thinking? That's my question. Dick, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Dick.
Happy Thanksgiving, Enid.
Thanks, and the same to you.
Thank you, darling. You know, it's a complicated question that you just asked, but I think really the crux of it is based in history, and it's based in two primary areas. First of all, historical knowledge. And as a country, demographically, as the population has migrated, we've gone through this historical cycle where we've lost a lot of our historical knowledge, and the population generally doesn't have any intimate knowledge of what happened in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. So they don't understand how we got to where we were in the 70s, 80s, and 90s when things got so good. So we have a lot of people that are going, Social Security, hell, I don't need that. I'm only 35 years old. I'm not going to pay in that. It's not even going to be here. And Medicare, hell, I've got health insurance. I don't need that. And they don't understand the importance of these social programs to the social fabric of the country.
Well, what about the loss of civil liberties in the time of the Patriot Act, and where parts of the Patriot Act are being used to prosecute people who are not terrorists?
Well, that happened basically also, if you look at it historically, because we've reached a point in terms of the history of government corruption, and especially congressional corruption, where the Congress has never really been more than a marketplace where major economic interests and political interests bid for influence. And it's gotten so bad, and it's culminated in a point where the Congress passes bills that aren't even fully written. And most of the time,
they don't see them. The administration is not showing them important bills until about an hour before, and these are very thick things that you've got to really go through. You've got to have your staff go through to find out what's really in that bill. They're not doing it. They're just saying, look, we want you to vote for this. We want you to rubber stamp it.
Exactly. And then they're amended in conference after the vote many times.
The Patriot Act was so complicated that the people who signed on to it really did not know what they were signing on to.
And the solution to this is to get this dumbed down, gutless excuse for a Congress that we have to get their heads in the game, find some cojones, and start holding their ground. And until that happens, this administration is going to continue to run roughshod over the entire country.
Dick, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Okay, here it is. You have, you know, we were talking about these gift cards. We were talking about the fact that they're great for business people or the companies that issue these gift cards because a lot of them never get redeemed, and they start dinging you. If you don't use your gift card in a year or 2 years, they'll ding you a buck and a half, $2 a month on these gift cards because they are greedy, and we haven't done anything to protect our consumers the way some other states have, such as California. It's got legislation it's going to take into effect, and these cards are going to be good for 2 years, and nobody can ding you anything. And I was suggesting that guys like John Andrews, instead of going around trying to find more conservatives or terrorize universities, you have enough conservatives on your faculty, he could get some consumer legislation going, some very simple consumer legislation that would protect more of us in areas that really matter. Now, if you want to hear about some bad legislation that's going to happen, one of you, Dan, sent this to me. Dan, thanks for that. This is Senator Wayne Allard, who apparently hasn't got enough to do. He is sponsoring a piece of legislation called the Religious Liberties Restoration Act. You know what this does? The Religious Liberties Restoration. Did you know that you don't have? Did you know that your religious liberties were somehow unrestored? I thought we had all the freedom of religion from and for that we wanted to have, but apparently Wayne Allard doesn't think so. Here's what it's going to do. Instead of protecting us from, some, you know, like these gift card ripoff kind of scams and stuff like that, here's what Wayne Allard busy doing, besides signing into law, you know, pushing that stupid Medicare, that very disastrous Medicare bill that looks like it's passed. This is what the Religious Liberties Restoration Act is all about. States that the following powers are reserved to the states or their political subdivisions on property owned and administered by them. To display the Ten Commandments. He wants to display the Ten Commandments. He wants, number two, to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, as I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic, one nation under God. He wants that one nation under God part in there. And to recite the national motto as, in God we trust, which I believe we should change to, what's in it for me, because that is the national motto. It has become, unfortunately, the national motto. Not in God we trust, but what's in it for me. This is what Wayne Allard is busy supporting. Why is he supporting legislation that makes it a ripoff for companies to ding you on your gift cards if they're older than 2 years or if they're a year old? Why does he support some good solid consumer legislation, huh? 303-382-1150. Do you want him spending time on this? Which Ten Commandments? There are about 29 versions of the Ten Commandments. Or there are 29 different commandments. So which 10 are we going to use? And the under God part in the pledge, and the to recite the national motto of In God We Trust, called the Religious Liberties Restoration Act, as though your religious liberties needed to be restored. Did they go away someplace? Are they on a bus somewhere to Fort Collins? What's the story? 303-382-1150. Bill, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Bill.
Before you were speaking about how easy it is to manipulate the American public.
Maybe the American public is all made of the right, and we know that they are a few IQ points short of room temperature. That could be it.
Well, you may remember this, but about 15 years ago, Leslie Stahl did a segment on 60 Minutes, and which she talked about the power of television and the visual image on the American public, and she used Ronald Reagan's election campaign as an example. And one of the examples she showed was that Reagan was not playing well. His poll numbers were not good among seniors. So what they did was they started letting him give speech, the same speech, no difference in content whatsoever, but they peppered the audience with seniors. And his poll numbers went up tremendously among seniors. And it wasn't based on what he was saying. It was based on what people were seeing. And I think that's part of the reason.
Wait a minute. Now, tell me how the mechanism would work. If he was not playing well to seniors, and he was now, the solution was to give the same speech over and over again, but to pepper some of the mainstream audience with people who are seniors, how did that affect the poll ranks?
Because people don't listen. They watch.
But how was it that putting him into a non-senior audience and putting him, salting it with a few seniors made it, improved it? I still don't understand how
Made the audience a senior audience. They made
I see that the audience looked like it was a senior audience.
Yeah, it was like a senior audience, and he's saying the exact same thing, same words and everything, but his poll numbers went up because people saw him giving the speech in front of seniors. And so they thought, well, then if he's given it in front of seniors, it must be something seniors like.
Oh, I see. So that was how they manipulated that. Here, what they're doing with W is every event is a staged event. So when he flew into the on the aircraft carrier, mission accomplished. You know, he was in the flight suit. He was in full costume. He was in full drag.
Yesterday, at
he had a lot of socks. He was practicing safe socks on that day.
Yesterday at Fort Carson, he had on an Army jacket.
Did he have on an Army jacket?
Yeah. Did it say
AWOL on it?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, it takes a lot of gajones for a guy that went AWOL to wear a part of an Army unit.
But nobody, did he have pants on or just the jacket? Never mind, Bill. I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Let's go to Robert calling from Castle Rock. Hi, Robert. You're live with Enid.
Enid, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good, Robert.
Yes, you going to leave us this week?
I am. But I'm leaving you in good hands. You're going to be in Arnie Grossman's hands tomorrow. We'll be doing best ofs on Thursday and Friday, Jerome Davis.
Okay, great. As long as it's not going to be that John Jack whack job or whatever.
Well, you'll have to take that up with him.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I called you up about a month ago, and I told you what these right-wing guys are all about, and I thought you were going to push it a little bit more. And I'm telling you, my brother is one of these Baptist jobs, and what they do in their church on Sundays is they praise Bush, and the devil is the liberals. And that's all they push on these people all every Sunday from beginning to end. And the right wing.
Oh, so that's what's happening.
The Republicans are, it's a cult.
Right.
When you mix.
But why? But you know what? I want to tell you something. The piety is probably what is fueling it from your brother's church. Is that it? They think that he's such a pious guy.
Yeah.
Well, I think to me, you know, we talked about this yesterday when my guest was Martin Amos. When you pair piety with politics, I think what you have is a lethal combination. I think you have dishonesty on both counts.
Well, they need the votes. They need the votes to get their, you know, to push their Halliburtons and the Ken Lays, this and that. And the only way they could do it, people with, you know, half a brain won't go for that. So they go for these whack jobs that are already halfway out of their mind. And they push their stuff on them.
All right, but I'm going to ask the question. I want to ask the question. How is it that people cannot see? How is it that they've suspended their critical faculties? How is it that they do not see that this is not a regime that supports them? It really supports the richest Americans, and it's doing it on the backs of the middle class and the working poor. How are they voting against their own self-interest?
If you're not in the richest 5%, you don't belong. You shouldn't vote Republican.
I'm with you, Robert. I thank you for the call. Jean calling from Longmont. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Jean.
I had already heard about this Religious Liberty Restoration Act, and I wrote Allard, and he sent me a letter.
Yeah.
And said he is very optimistic about this legislation and will keep your thoughts in mind as it progresses through the Senate. And the amendment guarantees a certain level of autonomy from the federal government, and so they can put the
Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments.
Did you ask him which version of the Ten Commandments? There are about 29 commandments.
Well, you know, that's what I thought too.
And you know, if he were discounting, maybe only for you 8 commandments.
Yeah. Now it's just unbelievable that he is spending his time doing this when there is other things. You know, I just wanted you to know
what could be more important than putting up the Ten Commandments or reiterating that on the money it should say "In God We Trust" instead of "What's in it for me."
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
But this, he said Congressman Pickering also introduced a bill, 3190, a companion bill that he introduced, and that it is going through the judiciary right now. So if anybody, I wrote him, and it's not any good to write him because that's his bill. But I don't know what to do about it.
Well, there are, let me see, there are co-sponsors, so there is, you know, they're all going to go for it, but
sure.
You can let yourself, make yourself known. Senator Sam Brownback, Senator Conrad Burns, Senator Larry Craig, Lindsey Graham of, Jim Bunning, Thad Cochran, Michael Enzi, Jim Inhofe. Oh, that guy from Oklahoma. Ugh.
Yeah.
He's a, oh, forget it. But anyway, here, if you want to get it, here, you can get a hold of Wayne Allard. Let him know how you feel about this. And Ben Nighthorse Campbell, you can do it online, senate.gov or house.gov. And Wayne Allard's 303 number here is 303-220-7414. Listen, it never hurts to do it. And Ben Nighthorse Campbell's local number, 303-843-4100. Gene, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Let's head over to Doris calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Doris.
I've listened to you from the beginning.
Thank you.
I've never called.
Oh, is this your first time?
First time.
Wait a minute. We have something.
Thank you. I was hoping for that.
Our version of the Thanksgiving turkey in advance.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I almost agree with everything you say except for today. I work for Nordstrom, and we don't charge for our gift cards. We never would. But it does cost money to produce them, to keep them on the books, to keep them on your computer. So if a merchant's charging $1, $2 for those, it's not a profit.
It's they're charging for it after the first year or two.
Exactly.
Per month.
Well, I know.
That
and
they're
I,
unused.
I agree with that. I mean, maybe a couple dollars a year.
Yeah, but, you know, Nordstrom, we love Nordstrom for their customer service and for the piano players there and the live music and everything. But I would think that because retail, the profit margins are pretty high in retail in a store like Nordstrom, a high-end store like that.
Right.
And wouldn't that be factored into the cost of all you have to do is issue the card? They're not doing it with a charge card.
Well, we don't charge for gift cards. We never would. They never expire. But I'm trying to stick up for, like, Starbucks and some other companies.
I think that John Andrews, instead of trying to uncover conservatives and trying to bedevil universities to do a McCarthy witch hunt as to whether enough conservatives on faculties, he ought to do something to protect consumers from being dinged for gift cards.
Yeah, I know. I agree with a lot of that. But I just wanted to make a point that it's not a profit for the merchants. They're not making that $2 or that $1, whatever they're, you know, they have to pay for the gift cards. You know, let's say you're a little mom and pop organization down the street and you want to offer that service to your customers. And yes, you can factor that into, you know, your expenses.
Yeah, but we had a guy who ran a restaurant and he was a mom and pop. They never expired. There was never a charge. And you have found money last year. $4 billion was never redeemed in gift cards.
Oh, I know.
So I think they're really making their money. I would not like. Well, you and I are going to disagree. What do you do at Nordstrom, Doris?
Oh, I work in customer service for the credit cards. So. And, you know, I have one more question for you.
Yes.
And this has to do with civil liberties and September 11th. Do you remember right after September 11th, we were all saying to one another, the world is never going to be the same. This country is never going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think that meant?
I think it meant that we were vulnerable, that we were not as invulnerable. We were not going to be, we couldn't be as insouciant as we were before, that we now had to take terrorism far more seriously because it came to our home mailboxes.
Right.
That's what I took it. And what we got from, and at a time when everybody wanted to come together
exactly.
and do something, what did we get from the White House? Go shopping.
Exactly.
So Nordstrom, you at Nordstrom would have seen the impact of that.
Exactly. And that's how I felt. I thought it would bring the country together. It'd bring the world together. We were against this terrorism. But I did not think it would erode our civil liberties. That was not, I thought we were going to start protecting our borders.
This regime, this administration is continuing on the work that Osama bin Laden and his crew began. And I think there's no other way to put it. Doris, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Tell your friends about Denver's best-kept secret. Talk radio where you can hear both sides throughout the day. AM 1150 KNRC.
It's almost Thanksgiving.
Woo!
And Ellen's talking turkey. Wednesday, stuff yourself on Ellen's first Thanksgiving special, complete with special guest Bette Midler and holiday cooking tips.
Never order turkey medium rare.
Plus, the happy couple, Bob the Bachelor and Estella.
The most dramatic rose ceremony ever.
And next, Ellen, Robert Downey Jr. and a live musical performance by Mary J. Blige on The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show, today at 3 on 9 News.
Hey, Kirk, what are you doing?
Kim, I'm writing a jingle about 4 o'clock at 9 News, airing right after Ellen DeGeneres. Okay, listen. Today, after Ellen, we are telling all the news you need to know, and whether it's snowing or not. Watch 9 News, 4 o'clock, because we're telling you the news after Ellen.
What? I like it, but before the big finish, you need the announcer to say, watch the Ellen DeGeneres show at 3, followed by 9 News at 4.
After Ellen, after Ellen, after... This will never make it on the air.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Creaky joints, sore muscles. For over 40 million Americans, the battle with these ailments is daily and debilitating. This Saturday at 6:30 a.m., tune in to find out a new way to relieve pain and start rebuilding painful joints, all naturally. We'll be talking with Dr. Janet Macaro, the developer of glucosamine cream, an all-natural formula that stops pain. Learn more about this natural wonder by tuning in Saturday at 6:30 a.m. Or to find out about glucosamine cream right now, call 800-604-6284. Trained representatives will answer your questions. Glucosamine cream can help battle those creaky joints and sore muscles. Call 800-604-6284 to find out more. Tune in Saturday at 6:30 a.m. or call 800-604-6284 to find out more about glucosamine cream. That number again is 800-604-6284.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. What you can't see can hurt you. Pollen, mold spores, dust, and dander can drive allergies crazy. That's why you should purify the air in your home with an Orrick tabletop air cleaner. Use one free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. And who knows, you may end up using a few less allergy pills.
Whoa, look out! Coming through!
Oh, I'm really glad we came. I wonder if Deb is here.
Hey, Kelly, John, it's so good to see you. I was hoping you'd come.
Hey, folks, have you called your doctor yet about the purple pill called Nexium? Well, perhaps you should wait till you get home. Find out if Nexium Esomeprazole Magnesium is right for you. And call 1-877-4-NEXIUM or visit us at purplepill.com.
You know, the thing about winning awards is that you have to say award-winning this and award-winning that. And frankly, it's very tiring for a voice talent like myself.
Here's your mic high, sir.
Thanks. But just in case you didn't know, you can download clips of award-winning news features and guest interviews from our award-winning website, made by an award-winning designer featuring award-winning hosts. Well, it's true. KNRCRadio.com has it all. But if somebody at the station wins a Nobel Prize, I'm out of here.
Hi, this is Greg Dobb. Join me every weekday morning from 6 to 10 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now, back to Enid Goldstein.
2:28 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours till 3 o'clock on this getaway. For me, a getaway Tuesday. But you're going to be in good hands. Arnie Grossman, who's actually with me in the studio, maybe we'll talk a little later. He's going to be sitting in for me tomorrow. We'll be doing best ofs on Thanksgiving Day. And on Friday, Jerome Davis will be sitting in. Lots of you, we have practically a full board. There's one line open. Grab it, 303-382-1150. We're talking about a lot of things. We're talking about this ridiculous legislation that Wayne Allard, apparently, who has too much time on his hands, is helping to sponsor, and that is to be able to display the Ten Commandments. Like which version? There are 29 of them, depending on what your religious tradition is. To be able to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, keeping in the part about under God, one nation under God, and to recite the national motto as In God We Trust, instead of the national motto we should have, which is What's in it for me? My other question is, how is it that we have become so easily manipulatable? Is it really true that the right has fewer IQ, you know, dumber than the left? Is that it? Is it that people don't want to be bothered? Is it that we're just looking blindly to our leaders? How is it that we're letting our precious freedoms, our civil liberties, be undercut in the name of staving off terrorism? All it does is terrorize us. 303-382-1150. Ideas to contemplate this Thanksgiving. Elizabeth on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. First of all, I just have to say I'm so excited to talk to you. I listen to you as much as I can, and I learn a ton from listening. And
thank
I
you.
Just,
is this the first time you've ever called?
It is.
Wait a minute.
Well, that made my day.
And it will transform your life.
I'll have to tell my husband, though. I have to tell you something that I listen to you a lot, and I hear you talk about the conservatives, and I have to chime in as a 30-something Democrat, lifelong Democrat, fairly liberal Democrat. I can tell you what the big problem is the Democrats aren't aggressive enough at getting people like me to do what my parents did when they were my age. And I moved to Denver a few years ago. I tried to get involved. No one's ever called me to do anything, through elections, through everything. I stay at home with my kids. I've got lots of free time, and I'm this wasted person just sitting here. And along with that, I think the problem is that all my friends want to be Democrats, but because they do pretty well and they went through their 20s and the 80s, they think they should be Republicans because it's what you do if you're making money. And they all say they're socially liberal, but they vote with their pocketbooks. And I think
you know that's
crazy.
True. That is really true of my cousins too. A lot of my cousins who grew up in a Democratic tradition are really voting with their pocketbooks and have become Republicans, and it's a big cause of friction in the family.
Right, and I think that the problem is that, you know, you're a young family, you've got kids, you want to do well, so you do want to vote with your pocketbook to some extent, but it's not cool to be socially liberal. You do that privately in your own home, you send your check to Planned Parenthood, but you don't vote appropriately. And I think that the Democrats have got to stand up and say that it's okay and cool to be a Democrat, and they just need some PR. They really need a PR.
They need PR, and they need spine, and they need cojones, and they need a lot. They need to wake up. But I'll tell you something, a couple of things that come to mind, Elizabeth. You're articulate. I'm sure that the Democratic Party, unless it's completely asleep at the wheel here, would be thrilled to have you on board. Also, any of the campaigns you're interested in, the Dean campaign, let's say, or Wesley Clark or whatever you're interested in. But also, and this is, and it's not too late to do this, Russell Simmons, Def Jam Records and all, they are really going out there to register young voters, to register kids who might not normally vote. And maybe that's a good and profitable place to be useful. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what your interests are, but that's one thing that we need to get kids who would never vote or who hadn't voted or who've been disengaged or who are just coming on to become new voters, get them involved in the process, get them registered.
I just think, though, that I think we have a bigger problem, a social problem. I don't think kids, and I don't just mean high school kids and college, because I mean especially college and people in their 20s, I don't think politics means anything to them like it did for my parents' generation. They don't have to fight for anything, or they should. They do, really.
Well, they're complacent. They've got it. The things that everybody else fought for, they have, and they think it's never going to go away, and it can go away just like that. Also, it's not so cool. It used to be really cool to be involved in politics.
Right.
And I don't think it has, and I think it now seems mired, and it's a slog, and it seems, filthy in a way.
Well, but I think that that's where the Democrats could be doing that. They not just enough to register them, and it shouldn't be MTV Rock the Vote. It should be we're getting in the colleges and teaching people how, everybody wants to be smart, and if you think you're going to learn stuff and you think you can talk about stuff, then let's be the Democrats who are the ones teaching them that, and then maybe they'll be Democrats.
Elizabeth, I thank you for calling, and anybody who doesn't use you in their campaign is wasting a terrific, valuable resource. Thanks very much.
Sure.
303-382-1150. Eric, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. I wanted to comment today on how you thought people were easily duped.
Yeah, please.
I think it goes back very far to maybe even medieval times where kings and other folk of that type hid behind church to make their views right.
So you mean the piousness, it's a kind of pious regalia.
Yeah, you did say that earlier.
Yeah, it's Emperor's New Clothes. Thanks, Eric. 303-382-1150. Jane, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello.
Hi, Jane.
Pleased to talk with you today.
Thank you.
I enjoy your show, but I think we have some deeper things that we need to talk about.
Yes.
One of them is Social Security, how they jerk people around, take their money, and put them off for 5 years. I've been put off for 5 years. My husband's been dead 5 years, and I had to go through the congressperson, and I had to even eventually get an attorney to get my own money that has been taken from me. You know, I don't think it's fair that you have to pay to get your money back.
No, I would agree with you.
You know, so
but we've been looking at that, And we've been interested in Medicare, but is there another point that you want to make? I'm glad you got your money back.
Well, I didn't get all my money back. That's why I'm calling, to get some input on how I can get my money back. They send me $2,500, and they owe me about $20,000, and say this is all you get. You know, so who do you deal with? It sure isn't the people downtown, because, hey, if you buck a little bit, they'll have a security guard put you out.
You know what, Jane, we'll put that question out there, but I don't think I can help you with that. Maybe somebody else can, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Ina Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday Thanksgiving Getaway edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC. 2:36, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Ina. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 43 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AT&T Wireless. Police in Denver continue trying to track down the shooter who attempted to rob the King Supers at 13th and Cremaria this weekend and shot a security guard at the store. The guard was hit by a bullet as the suspect fled the scene and fired several times. The suspect is described as a black man about 5 feet 8 inches tall and weighs about 160 pounds. It'll be a busy week at Denver International Airport. In fact, officials are saying it could be a record-breaking week. They're expecting 706,000 passengers will travel through the airport during the Thanksgiving holiday week, and that would make it the busiest Thanksgiving travel week ever at TIA. The Senate passed landmark Medicare legislation today. One of its most publicized features is a prescription drug plan for the nation's seniors. President Bush is looking forward to signing the bill, calling it a major victory in efforts to improve the nation's health care system. In sports, it's the Denver Nuggets versus the Phoenix Suns tonight at the Pepsi Center. The Nuggets go into the game at 7-6, while the Suns are even at 6-6. Find a new way to connect. Reach out on the wireless service America trusts, AT&T Wireless. Traffic and your exclusive Weather Channel forecast are up next. KNRC News Time is 2:37.
John Madden here to tell you about the Big Ace Hardware one-day sale happening this Friday, November 28th. Get great stuff to decorate your home, like a big 6-foot light and spiral tree for only $9.99, or pre-lit deer silhouettes for your lawn for just $12.99 each. This is one sale you don't want to miss, so drop by your neighborhood Ace this Friday. Doors open at 7 a.m., so make plans to shop early. Ace, the helpful place. Quantities may be limited and are available at participating Ace stores. Rebates void in Connecticut.
New French Vanilla Cool Whip.
New French Vanilla's here for that special time of year. To the Cool Whip. Happy holidays, just a dollop away. To the Cool Whip. Add the French Vanilla touch. That always means so much. Cocoa, apple pie, and cake. Ooh, it's time to celebrate.
KNRC News Time is 2:38. Time to go to Darren Copeland now in the KNRC Traffic Center.
This traffic report is brought to you by the History Channel. Got a stalled semi westbound I-70 at I-25. Sounds like it's in the left lane, so watch for that. Also got an accident coming in westbound I-70 at Quebec. That'll be a bit of a problem as well. See how military technology goes civilian on Tactical to Practical tonight at 7, only on the History Channel. I'm Darren Copeland with your KNRC traffic.
I'm Colleen Swales with a KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Winds have been picking up today, but it still looks good weather-wise. Partly cloudy with a high near 40. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 19. And again, a breezy day on Wednesday. A lot of folks travel. Looks good for that. Partly sunny, 38. Thanksgiving Day will become mostly sunny with a high near 40. For the Weather Channel, I'm Colleen Swales on AM 1150 KNRC.
It's mostly sunny, 43 degrees. KNRC News Time is 2:39. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
This week on Colorado State of Mind, our Emmy award-winning series debates when should teens be tried as adults, and should President Bush publicly mourn our war dead? This is Greg Dobbs, and on the first question, during a football camp, three high school boys allegedly sodomized freshman teammates as part of a hazing ritual. They'll be tried as juveniles, and if convicted, will likely get little or no jail time. They may even return to school alongside their accusers. Is this appropriate, or should they be tried as adults? What do you think? Join me and a panel of Coloradans Friday night at 8:30 for Colorado State of Mind, only on Rocky Mountain PBS Channel 6. Plus, President Bush had not attended any funerals for soldiers killed in Iraq. Should he or shouldn't he? Join the discussion online anytime at rmpbs.org and be sure to tune in to Colorado State of Mind every Friday night at 8:30 on Rocky Mountain PBS.
KNRC Market Watch.
We saw a mixed finish on Wall Street today. The Dow added 16 points. The Nasdaq lost 4. The S&P 500 was up 2. We did see pretty heavy volume despite the rapidly approaching Thanksgiving holiday. 1.3 billion shares traded at the New York Stock Exchange, 1.8 billion over at the Nasdaq. Among the blue chips, Merck hit a 52-week low today after one Wall Street firm lowered its forecast for the drug maker, Merck slipping some 67 cents. With the holiday travel season starting in earnest this week, some airlines climbed higher today. American parent AMR gained 41 cents, Delta tacking on 30 cents. And a published report says ABC is planning a 24-hour news channel. ABC parent Disney up 16 cents on the news. Again, the Dow adding 16, the Nasdaq losing 4, the S&P 500, the broader index, down some up some 2 points. I'm John Wardock from the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Our contact number, 303-382-1150. We hear you. 303-382-1150. Close is your phone. 303-382-1150. KNRC.
2:42 on the Getaway Tuesday, Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. Did I hear right in traffic they're going to close down part of I-25 tonight as people are trying to make their way out of town? What geniuses are running this operation? A T-Rex, 303-382-1150. You know, sometimes when you buy stuff and you have to return it at Park Meadows, you got to find out if the road's going to be open because I don't know how to do the local thing. I got to do I-25. And I think this is preposterous on a holiday weekend that they're going to be engaging and closing part of 25, but what do I know? Anyhow, 303-382-1150, we're talking about why people are so easily manipulated by the rhetoric coming out of the White House. The idea that it's okay to stomp all over our civil liberties because it's a way to fight terrorism. Actually, it's a way to give in to terrorism. Van, calling from Boulder. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Yeah, hey, Enid. Hope you're having a good day. Have a happy holiday.
Thank you very much.
It's like this ad, I think, that part of what you've been talking about, you know, the ad that they're putting out in Iowa.
Uh-huh.
And just the idea that they can use a phrase like preemptive self-defense, and nobody goes ballistic.
I mean, why is it? My friend Arnie Grossman says it's not being duped by Bush, it's being doped by Bush. I mean, why isn't anybody screaming about this?
I don't know. I mean, because instinctively I said, that's oxymoronic. I mean, there's no way that you can use those two words in a phrase and have it mean anything. And, you know, I went and I hit the dictionary, and I think it's really interesting because both preemption and self-defense have, like, a legal base. They're legalese. They're technical terms. And they are. They are completely contradictory. I mean, self-defense assumes on an action actually being taken by an aggressor. And then preemption is before, you know.
Right.
You have to do something before an action.
All right, what does it mean that people aren't seeing through this rhetoric?
Well, what it means is that we're just being lousy citizens. I think we're just, you know, I mean, folks don't understand the Bill of Rights was written after the Constitution to protect people, you know, from the government. And that's what the whole Bill of Rights is about. And, it, you know, people, they argue as if I think
we've all been narcotized by TV, by lives that are too busy, by having to do too much. We have to do, you know, it takes two paychecks to do what one used to. The first thing that falls by the wayside is community life. The second thing that falls by the wayside because it's labor and time intensive is friendship. So I don't know. I think there's some great gas bubble over our heads and all we can do is glom our eyeballs onto the TV set. Van, I thank you very much for the call. 303-382-1150. And here we haven't even talked about a couple of other things, and let me get to them. Weapons, well, first of all, as they fight the unseen enemy in Iraq, Colorado National Guard members are fighting a bureaucracy at home just to get their paychecks. Jane called earlier. She can't get her Social Security money. The state special forces guardsmen faced the same struggle in Afghanistan. There are tremendous amounts of pay glitches. GAO report, found that the system used to pay activated National Guard troops is so cumbersome that 94% of the soldiers serving in six sample units in Afghanistan, including Colorado's B Company, 5th Battalion, 19th Special Forces, had some sort of a paycheck problem. So they can't even get the money that's due them. So what does this say about the whole logistical operation? And then, in a four-month investigation that reaches from the sands of Iraq to the halls of the Pentagon, apparently weapons given to tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers may not work in the desert, all because of a defective lube, a lubricant. Not to mention the fact that the body armor made of ceramic, this new, better, more high-tech body armor, will not be issued to all of our troops in Iraq until sometime in December. They are behind on the manufacture of these things. What does this tell us about the competence of this administration? 303-382-1150. Preston, calling from Denver. Hi, Preston.
Hi, Enid.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And actually, I wanted to say Barbara Simpson says hello to you.
I know that, Preston, because I got the word that you called KSFO in San Francisco, and you mentioned me to Barbara Simpson on the air. And a friend of mine from San Francisco heard it and called me immediately.
Okay.
So thank you very much for that. I appreciate it.
Sure. She was talking about some of the antidepressant issues, and apparently she used to work for the Cousteau Society, and you were mentioning people can stream KNRC, and I think sometimes people are intimidated by that technology, but it's very simple and it's free of charge as well.
Well, it is certainly. If you want to call and you live elsewhere, out of the area, it's a free phone call. You just hit the call me function, and it brings you right into the studio.
Yeah, but you were talking about turkeys earlier and how they're treated in the kind of big industrial agriculture system.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually connected to politics because I wanted to ask you if you had ever seen the film Chicken Run.
No.
It's a fascinating claymation kind of film. It came out about 4 years ago, and I was astonished at how it was a parable for social movement processes. I mean, basically, it's the story of these chickens and this big egg factory, and they're realizing that when they don't produce enough eggs, they get turned into pot pies. And so some of them start organizing to try to get out of this place. And the whole dynamic of, oh, we can't do anything, we can't fight the system, all that stuff is covered in this film. In fact, at one point, the chicken's like, oh, we don't want to fight the system, and the other chicken's like, they're going to fatten you up, pluck your feathers, and turn you into a pot pie. And the other chicken's like, well, it's a living. And so it goes through the whole thing. And check that out. I think that answers some of the questions. And it also goes into marketing and imagery.
Yeah, but how are people so easily duped? I mean, people have been the victim of any number of advertising campaigns. And you would think by now people can see through them.
You know, there's a lot of fear tactics. People are afraid of losing jobs and other things, intimidation, and you know, a whole lecture wouldn't begin to cover it all. But I think it's important to keep in mind, in many ways, people are not duped by it. We had the largest protests before the war than had been seen in history. I mean, we were in Vietnam for years before started making noise.
One explanation, and Eric emails us this, he said people just don't want to admit that they were wrong. They don't want to admit that they were wrong about marrying the wrong person. They don't want to admit that they were wrong about politics, about going to Iraq, about anything. So it's sort of like, we're stuck.
Yeah.
Good money after bad.
And there are, denial issues going on. And I think, there are habits of mind that are, we're conditioned in by a lot of the media. But, I do see hundreds of thousands of people involved in everything from the environment to Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, Global Exchange. I mean, once you get into the stream, you see that a lot of people are very wise to this. And what you were saying about Russell Simmons and some of the hip-hop movement, what they're doing, registering people to vote, and they're fighting the war on drugs and police brutality and human rights issues as well. So, it depends on where you look. I think there's a lot of moving going on.
Thank you, Preston.
Sure.
I appreciate all the kind things you've done on my behalf, too.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks a lot. 303-382-1150. Desmond, hi. You're live with Enid.
Hey, I'd like to answer your question. Why are so many people buying into this whole lie that Bush is spreading about the Patriot Act?
Which of his lies? There's so many. Which number lie is
it? Well, just the general lie.
That it's going to protect our civil liberties?
Yeah.
That it's going to make us safe from terrorism?
Yeah.
I mean, it is Orwellian. It's a universe where up is down, down is up. The Patriot Act, which really stomps all over our civil liberties, is somehow going to make us safer. I don't think so. And the fact that people are buying it is more distressing to me than the fact that the regime is putting out these lies.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like Hitler said. If you tell a lie often enough, loud enough, and long enough, the people will believe it, and the truth will become a lie, and the lie will become a truth.
I agree with you, Desmond, and I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to the Lucky Tuesday Getaway edition of... We got to get away from this regime, too. Getaway edition of Enid Live on AM 1150 KNRC.
How Denver and Colorado spell great talk radio. KNRC.
Hey, how are those juggling classes going?
Oh, great. I'm ready for the big time. Pass me those chainsaws, would you?
What?
I'm okay.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Women over 50 and men over 40 are waking up to a surprising fact. They're already at risk of a heart attack. Because of age and other risk factors, doctors often recommend Bayer low-dose aspirin as part of a routine to help prevent a heart attack. Bayer is the leading aspirin brand, and taking Bayer for your heart is easy. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen and ask about adding Bayer to your routine for many more great days ahead. Trust your heart to Bayer.
I love the holidays, but it's such a race getting ready. The shopping, the cooking, the planning.
This year, take a few minutes to do something special just for you. Give yourself the gift of Botox Cosmetic. Botox Cosmetic Botulinum Toxin Type A. For more information and to find a physician near you, visit BotoxCosmetic.com.
I've been wanting to do this for a long time.
Don't wait till the holidays have come and gone. Before the parties and get-togethers with family and friends, give yourself the gift of Botox Cosmetic.
The KNRC Community Commitment.
The Memory Cafe is a welcoming place for people with memory loss. Join them at 7 o'clock on Friday, December 5th for music, dancing, and fun for those with early stage memory loss and their caregivers, family, and friends. The event will be at the Johnson Adult Day Center located at 3444 South Emerson Street in Inglewood. Admission is free, but you must register in advance by calling 303-789-1519 or by going to alzrockymountain.org.
Don't sell it. Don't trade it. Call 1-800-2-DONATE and donate your car to Heritage for the Blind. Call 1-800-2-DONATE for hassle-free pickup. 1-800-2-DONATE or visit taxdeduction.com.
Talk to Bill O'Reilly.
Over the weekend, Al-Qaeda attacks Saudi Arabia. 17 killed, at least, in Riyadh. What is important about this? Two things. Number one, Saudi Arabia is now getting a taste of their own medicine. Most of the Al-Qaeda people captured are Saudis. 9-11 hijackers, most of them were Saudis. So, there you know, you reap what you sow. The Saudis thought that they could play the game of buying the Al-Qaeda's off, and they wouldn't attack them, and now they have.
Bill O'Reilly, weekday mornings from 10 till noon on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hi, this is Bill O'Reilly. Join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:54 on the Lucky Tuesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours for just a few more minutes, and then I take off. I am out of here, shot like a cannon into learning how to make sweet potatoes. So's Joe. He's on an airplane, our producer Joe Anderson. I mean, he's already gone in spirit. But I have to learn how to make sweet potatoes with marshmallows on top. God help us. But somebody called in to say I can always buy it at Boston Market if all else fails, and it may very well. But you're going to be in good hands tomorrow. Arnie Grossman's going to be sitting in for me tomorrow, Jerome Davis on Friday, and Best Ofs on Thursday, and some wonderful interviews if you've missed them. Deepak Chopra, he's going to heal you up for the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, and Judy Collins, who's wonderful, and Annie Garrels, who will tell you exactly what's going on in Iraq because she very nearly didn't make it out. She reports for NPR, and she was there. She was unembedded, And she was there when the invasion came down, and her friends were very worried that she wasn't going to get enough food and water and that she was going to make it out there alive. But she did, and she's fearless, and she has tremendous observations to make about Iraq. But with us right now is Arnie Grossman, an old friend of mine, who's going to be filling in. Arnie, welcome.
Thank you, Enid. You
were on with Billy, as you were playing Dominic the other night.
That's
with Dominic,
right,
and
Friday.
Billy. And was that fun? How was
it? It was
that?
Very enjoyable. It was good, a break in. I haven't done talk radio in some time, and it's nice to be back.
He used to
especially
do it.
Nice to be back on your show.
Oh, thank you. He used to do it at the Walmart across the way, but
right.
We will forgive him.
The unnamed radio station, whose call letters and frequency I forgot.
whose frequency is now infrequent. Well, Arnie, I think maybe it would be good if you introduced yourself to people, and I know you'll do that tomorrow, but
mm-hmm.
Arnie has had a political career probably underestimates it, but you worked with Pat Schroeder, you've worked with
yes.
Governor Lamb, you worked on the Arizavaris campaign.
Well, we'll skip that one. Go to some of the winners.
You're the father of
Gary Hart.
Gary Hart.
Leon Panetta.
What did you do for Leon Panetta? I didn't know that you worked for Leon.
I did his first campaign when he ran for Congress. When he opposed a six-term incumbent in a Republican district and he ran as a Democrat, he had left the Nixon administration outraged at the lack of enforcement of civil rights policy. He was in the Civil Rights Enforcement Division of the Justice Department. He got angry. He left. He switched parties, became a Democrat, ran for Congress, did a wonderful job.
But he would have run from California.
Yes, he did run in California.
And you handled the campaign in California?
Oh, yeah. I've done campaigns around the country. Sure. Not just in Colorado.
And? It worked?
It worked. He won. First time out. And he was a very good congressman. And he went on to become chief of staff for Bill Clinton, whom I miss. And I know you miss.
You know who else misses Bill Clinton?
Who?
The conservatives, because they don't have anybody to bash right now.
That's true.
I wish they would eat their young and bash Bush. But...
Right.
Perhaps we can take up that cudgel.
You know, in listening to you today hearing you discuss the issue of what's wrong with the leadership or lack thereof from which we're suffering in this country, I'm reminded of something my friend Gary Hart said to me a long time ago when we were discussing politics, and I believe he was quoting Thomas Jefferson, and he said, "We will only get the quality of government we deserve." And I ask this question, do we deserve George W. Bush, John Ashcroft, Donald Rumsfeld? Do you feel you deserve this? What have you done to deserve this?
That's the question I ask daily. What have I done to deserve these
guys? I think we deserve
guys?
Much better. Is that a partisan statement? Of course. But it's also, I believe, a qualitative statement about the kind of leadership we are getting and that which we are not getting.
There's that old cliche, which is sort of a rephrasing of the Thomas Jefferson, which is we get the politicians we deserve. And apparently too many of us are asleep at the wheel.
I think we are.
Including the Democratic leadership.
As you wisely pointed out just a few minutes ago, that perhaps we're too preoccupied with other things. Like you said, watching television. What do we watch on television? I don't, you don't, but most of the people do.
The shopping channels.
And people eating worms on television, people humiliating other people, people facing danger, people trying to win a marriage contest. That's where people are these days.
Well, what does that tell us? If we're looking at a barometer of social behavior, what does that tell us?
Well,
but I know that you're going to talk about that tomorrow.
It's the age of Schadenfreude, which I probably have mispronounced.
Schadenfreude, excuse me.
I got it backwards.
Schadenfreude, which is where you're...
The enjoyment
of somebody else.
Somebody else is suffering.
Very quickly, because we only have a couple seconds left. Who do you have on tomorrow?
I have a wonderful guest tomorrow, former Governor Richard Lamb. We'll be on from 2 to 3 o'clock tomorrow to talk about where government has gone in Colorado since he's been gone.
I have a lot of people to thank. Thank you, Arnie. Tomorrow, Arnie Grossman filling in for me. Friday, Jerome Davis. Thank you, Joe Anderson, for your fine work. Thank you, Jordan Lyles, for yours. Doug Kellett on from 3 to 6. Dominic and Billy, or whoever's going to be Dominic tonight, from 6 to 9. And I'll see you back here noon to 3 on Monday on AM 1150 KNRC. Do something generous. Have a fabulous Thanksgiving. Leave the world a better place. I mean it, and I'll see you Monday.
Hear both sides talk. AM 1150 KNRC. Inglewood, Denver. Doug Kellett is straight ahead. It's 3 o'clock.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny, 41 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin. This report brought to you by AT&T Wireless. If you're on the road tonight, be advised that the latest in a series of T-Rex closures is set for tonight, as we hear from T-Rex spokeswoman Karen Morales.
Tonight we're going to be pouring the concrete deck for the southern portion of the Evans Avenue Bridge. In order to do that, we'll close down the northbound lanes of I-25 starting at Hampton starting at 9 p.m. Then we'll close down the southbound lanes at Santa Fe Drive starting 1 hour after the Nuggets game ends tonight.
Morales says tonight's closure will be the last of it for this holiday weekend.
Well, the good news for folks who are going to be traveling over this Thanksgiving holiday is tonight's closure is the last bit of T-Rex work that you're going to be seeing over the weekend. While crews may continue doing some work in the work zones, we do not have any scheduled closures of ramps, lanes, or the highway until next week.
Also at 8 tonight, the various lanes of eastbound Evans at I-25 will be closed for the night as part of that same concrete pour on I-25. James Floyd Cleaver will spend more than 33 years in federal prison for starting the 1997 fire that destroyed the IRS office in Colorado Springs. He and co-defendant Jack Dowell will also have to repay more than $2.2 million in restitution. That today from Senior U.S. District Judge Richard Mache. Cleaver was